can start right here and just like get the point across that maybe the best way to make this plan that we've just been discussing happen would be to just brute force it.
So just say, here's the fucking throwdown. Are you person enough to accept this challenge?
The idea, you know, the inception of the plan that Matt and I was were hoping to make happen. We wanted a marriage of Mick Gordon and Magfest to happen.
Yes,
and it feels like there was no romance.
Yeah, there was no spark.
You know, so Jake, you're saying if we just start swinging elbows, right?
If we just honestly just put the call out there and say this is something we, as the people who would even play and the people who would. Are like super fans and like up on everything, you know, of all parties involved, you know, like seeding this idea and getting a really good reception in the first place. Like we just kind of brainstormed it together. I didn't have this idea before now because I didn't think Mick Gordon was not playing Magfest. Like if he wanted to.
So you're saying just hypothetically,
yeah.
you could just challenge him live on microphone or the internet and call him a coward.
Yeah. And I believe you said
just
it earlier.
Just purely hypothetical though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And hypothetically you said the winner.
No, not even hypothetically.
Okay, factually then the winner gets the loser's car, you said.
Yeah. Hypothetically.
Let's not factually.
Hand their dog. Maybe.
Let's not go crazy.
We can work out the details.
Maybe a handy.
Right. Perhaps a reach around, both people involved, right? Everyone wins.
Tremendously.
What ends up happening,
What's Grant Kirkhope supposed to do?
Watch.
Just make funny banjo noises?
Spritz the water.
You're going to laugh so hard about having said that as soon as you hear the album I just put in your hand.
Okay.
B3. We'll check it out.
I'm not even going to tell you why.
Don't spoil.
I'm just going to put this whole performance thing where we challenge him too as a sort of like, you know, a friendly feud, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
I met Mick Gordon once. We went to dinner together. We were at a Mexican restaurant. And I remember he was sitting at the head of the table, two seats down from me, and was the funny guy in the room the entire time. So I have a feeling this might get through to him, and he might actually be like, you know what? Fuck it.
I beat this kid up live.
I remember that awkward fat motherfucker, you know? What's he doing now? Oh, shit.
That's the sound of like shock and awe, right?
Yeah.
No, but it's not because you guys think I'm talking about what I'm working on, but it's because of how I look now. I could get up on a stage.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
Look like Grimace if you want. Like a purple shirt.
Well,
like
I'm melting.
Yeah, like the McDonald's Grimace fucking thing. That's what you look like.
Yeah, I'm always posting selfies with my dog on Twitter because I'm happy to be alive.
That's good.
I'm happy to be healthy, finally.
Wait, but the core.
I'm ready to play shows again, guys.
What is happening? I don't even know what's happening.
We're in the past right now.
We got pre-roll.
We're in the non-canon time zone of the world, PST.
Yeah.
the LA cast, I guess, is happening. Everybody introduce yourselves,
I guess. Yes, please.
Yo.
I'm Matt.
I'm Wooly.
I'm Brennan.
There you go.
I'm Liam. Pleasure to meet you guys.
I'm Sheena.
I am Jake.
So what do you guys do? Well, what's your purpose?
Like,
you go first. I gotta think about that.
Yeah, give him a minute.
No, I have to let you think about it.
Robot must compute.
Hey dudes, what's up? I'm Sheena. Also known as Psychobilly 2422 on the internet, I guess, for all you internet people.
Psychobilly freak out.
Yeah, exactly. I make video games. That's pretty cool.
What are some video games you've made?
Spooky's House of Jump Scares.
Oh my god.
Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion.
Which I have played I don't know how many times, and each time I get a bit further.
Yeah, me too.
And each time I start cursing
Sheena.
Big friends.
Because
every time
you've done it in videos, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, every single time.
Got
him.
And each time I'm like, well, it's not going to be that scary because I've gone through it a couple times, but when I get to the further layers, the deeper, older layers, I'm like, oh,
I start getting terrified embarrassingly early. like 7 floors in.
Is that a slime thing? Get it away from me. Yeah.
Seriously, my girlfriend has had hours of laughter at my expense because I can't deal.
I have hours of laughter because of Matt.
So, there you go.
It's so rude.
Are you ready, sir, Jake?
Yes, indeed. I am Jake. I am Sheena's biggest fan by far. And I get to watch her make her game every day because I work here in the same office.
But that's not who you are.
But
he's getting to it.
I'm getting to it. And I get to hang out in this greatness while I work on the music for Shovel Knight.
Yes.
I'm a composer and sound designer for Shovel Knight and Shantae and Mighty Switch Force and Double Dragon Neon.
Yes.
And about...
You're missing one.
Well, I'm missing about 94.
You're missing what? You're missing Liam's favorite.
No, he said Mighty Switch Force.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He actually totally said it. I'm like, this is the one time all weekend, because we've been talking here about you quite a bit, where it's like, why do you guys keep avoiding saying Mighty Switch Force?
And we're not. We just forget.
And of course, Wooly gets the shaft because Valkyrie Vanguard doesn't get mentioned anywhere in there.
That's not a
soundtrack yet. That's just a preview.
I know, but it's so good. Turn Around is so good. Of course I have. And everyone on my stream has heard it. Many times, sir.
You're saying it's going to get better?
It's going to get way better.
Okay.
It's going to be so epic it makes you pee yourself. And then that's one of
the multiple stages.
So to get back to peeing myself, we were discussing, the most selfish of all ideas, which is Jake and Mick on stage playing each other's music at MAGFest.
Yeah.
Jerking each other off, basically.
Right. Just right on in front of everybody.
And just to give everyone a refresher, even though we do it every couple of weeks, Mick Gordon being the composer of Killer Instinct and Doom and Wolfenstein Doom. The New Order.
That's correct.
So we regularly talk about pleasuring him in some sort of way about how godlike he is.
Call us back.
Yeah. There you go. At least once.
Wink, wink.
Mick, as if your massive ego needs further inflation, know that my partner in crime, Robbie, the guy that mixes all of my music to sound less like shit because I'm a shit mixer, it's great to have a team, right? You know? All right, so anyway, Robbie's a massive gamer, and he just played Wolfenstein for the first time. And he's like, I've never before seen him react to a game like this before. He's like, I like this game. After every cutscene or every set piece, he's like, I love this game. Yeah. Holy shit. Sheena, watch this.
It's a true story.
I'm not exaggerating.
It's a super true story. Like, we were all walking out of the office, and he just stops all of us, and he's like, you guys, you need to know. Wolfenstein is the best game. And we're like, all right, man.
Yeah.
No, just chill. And in that tone of voice, he's kind of aggressive, boisterous, right?
So,
like, it's so good.
And I'm like, the music, right? And he's like, I know, it's great, it's awesome. And I'm like, yeah, that's my boy, Mick. Doing the stagger walk. Like, I only met Mick once, but he made an impression on me as the kind of guy who might accept my challenge if he's tough enough.
Hypothetically. Right? So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
You guys are living. I'm going to be a Time Lord here. I'm going to project that he does, and then
you're going to win his car.
Well,
and his dog too.
Yeah.
No. That's the rule of being a human being who evolved with dogs. You know, by their side is
what?
I don't know, man.
What
is to
hello?
Check it out. Is never take a man's dog or a woman's dog. Never take in a person's dog because you need your dog. I couldn't bet.
You don't need a car.
What about a dog, though? Can you take a dog's dog?
Oh.
Or dog's
oh,
dog's yeah. dog's dog?
Jake, what about a dog car like in Dumb and Dumber?
Oh, shit.
That's what, just my then car what? Already. I even got the dog flying around in there creating a mess, feeding him nachos and shit.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I thought I was going to get you.
No, I was like, you know, like if you ride your dog, you if you have a giant rideable dog.
Yeah,
you know,
like a St. Bernard.
Well, then we're crossing over here.
Falcor?
Yeah.
Falcor?
Yeah, Clifford, you know.
I would do a Falcor for sure.
Clifford.
No, man, you can never get me on Life Chaos, man. I'm a rolling ball. I'm a catamaran.
It's very apparent I can't.
A mania. So things are going crazy around here. We're doing all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
We work together in a big studio where we're doing all kinds of creative projects, but I won't take up the whole time ranting about those. I wanna...
No problem. Quite frankly, I like the sound of a gauntlet being thrown at the start of a podcast.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a purely hypothetical gauntlet.
Purely hypothetical sound.
As far as podcasts go, this being the 175th podcast, I'd like to welcome you guys on.
Yeah,
thanks for joining.
Hey,
yeah.
For having us.
That's a something centennial.
Yeah.
It's not Centennial.
It's probably something.
Centibicentennial, I think.
What it is, is...
Oh, if we were a comic book, we would have a foil cover or a prism cover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like X-Men Alpha and X-Men Omega. Age of Apocalypse.
Edge,
right.
Over the Edge, Double Edge
Over
Max.
The Edge, Double Edge, edge Max. Friends.
Well, yes. We'll get there in a minute. 175 is the number of tracks on the Pokemon Sun and Moon OST.
Son of a... What?
That's what's up.
175.
Wow,
what? Big
did
number.
You, did you write that down? Like,
esoteric facts is what we do every episode.
No, I love it. But that's staggering.
That's
I know,
the number.
It?
Yeah. I thought
they're like six discs. The sets. It's
so
bananas.
I thought Okami was the most overwhelming soundtrack.
Yeah, like 100.
I had. It's well over 100. I don't know the exact number, but it's
really
discs
high.
On discs of music. But 175 in Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
Oh,
Pokemon
my God,
soundtracks.
I couldn't imagine working on that. I'd say Shovel Knight is probably over 100 now, but only with all of the expansions together, and that doesn't count.
Yeah, it's different.
I have time to work on the new stuff. Mm-hmm. That had to be cranked up for a product launch cycle.
Like half of them are just like...
How many composers was that? Can your audience like ping us back on that? I could just...
For Sun and Moon?
Not on the spot, because...
We'll check in the chat live.
Yeah, we'll check. There you go.
If it was just one person, I'm gonna be...
Well, it's been how many years since the last new Pokemon game, X and Y? It's been four.
Half
four
of the
years?
Tracks are just goose.
Nah, like more like three.
If you had 4 years, how many songs could you crank out for one game?
They're just Team Skull themes.
And
like
they told you
you'd
make a Pokemon game.
How many bean burritos you got?
Let's hypothetical.
Can we get somebody
like,
to walk my dog?
Hypothetical, like 2,000 and every other day.
Man,
you have 4 years.
Man, I can't even back of envelope it because I might go into Super Saiyan mood and then like, you know, end up in the hospital for a while and like laugh the entire time there while, you know, writing more stuff. Like,
yeah.
Once you go full on manic, you can't come back from that. So
you should challenge the single composer for Sun and Moon and then steal their car.
Please tell me it's not.
It's not.
I can't imagine it is.
We don't know.
I'll
try to look it up.
And, you know, as often said, fact checking will ruin the podcast.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
We try not to check our facts as often as we can.
Yeah.
I have like, did I get the job or not level like pit of stomach dread. One person. I could do 150 tracks in a...
4 years?
In four years.
You get 2,000... It's only 2,000 bean burritos. You have to feed yourself the rest of the time like an adult.
Yeah.
And your dog only gets walked every other day. So you still have to spend time with him.
Deal.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take it. I'm a bargainer. I can understand.
Well, how many... You did like over like 200 chiptune songs at one point. So obviously that was over a course of like how many years?
Well, you just divide the number of games by the number...
I mean not for games. I mean just general tracks.
The thing is, those have gotten more and more infrequent over the past few years as I've gotten more busy doing multiple jobs at once to pay the increasing bills of my ambition-filled working spaces.
He needs to buy more tubas.
Empire?
My standard of living has gone up, so my requirement has gone up, and thus I've painted myself into a corner where I have to take a bunch of jobs at once to support the whole... working of all this stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah, because
you
guys just gave us a tour of this place, and there's like a great area for a backstage hardcore wrestling match. There's all these like, there's a safe.
Yeah, there is.
There's
some accessories.
There's an industrial kitchen with an amazing range that I want to take on the plane home with me.
It's a fully professional TV kitchen that just happened to be there when we broke down the wall. It was like a Zelda game.
Yeah.
And we go in, there's a kitchen in there.
There's a kitchen, that's it.
It's like,
but it's good.
That's non-TV kitchen. Everything's chrome.
And two safes.
Professional appliances and stuff.
It's and like, those are like people-sized safes, too.
Yeah. That's a body in there.
There's probably a body in there. None of us have actually seen the guy that owns those safes. We've never seen him open them.
There you go.
It is too nice.
I wouldn't say that, dude.
He's too nice.
Nah, man.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why he's suspicious.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe there's bodies in there. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. We've built it up. I invested everything that I made to date on Shovel Knight into the studio.
Yeah.
And
instead of living, you know, large or, you know, putting money away like a smart person, or, you know, starting a family and this and that, you know, I have my priorities straight. I'm a jackass. And invested everything into the studio, and we geared up, and we learned how to use a TriCaster, which is the video switching device that...
I haven't even heard that word before.
Yeah. Watch Spooky Streams, man.
Okay.
He goes in on it.
Okay.
The time.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, you know, and so we built all this stuff up and learned how to use it and practice with it and did test runs and did, you know, opened it up to a few people on, you know, a private YouTube stream and shopped it out and, you know, continued iterating and improving on it. And so now we're ready to stream every day.
Yeah. Cool. And now people are turning the lights on in your studio.
There's an
controlling the colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a website for that.
There's a website for that. And it's circle.mintpotion.com.
And you can fuck up this studio live.
There's lights and lasers that Sick. Go off.
There's going to be a lot of crazy shit that happens, like, further down the road. Like, there's going to be, like, a specific ding where I'm going to get, like, where I get to run around with a Nerf gun and peg people in the head.
Yeah.
It's not just lights. It can be triggers for anything in the studio. So we're going to let you drive the studio through the RPG that we're building.
We had this, like, joke that
this one turns the power off.
Ruin the music live.
It's like, imagine running around in the Zelda overworld and... Because that's what it kind of looks like now. It's using open source background tiles for some art. But it's like a full town. And you run around and there's like bells everywhere. And if you ring the bells, fucking light turns on in my room.
Or someone
runs around with a Nerf gun.
Or this inflatable dick just smacks Robbie in the face. It's one that we were thinking about doing.
This button makes a dog bark and bakes it and saves it on the track you're working on.
That's a good idea.
I think Dream Theater did that in one of their albums.
No, it exports it and it automatically uploads it to SoundCloud.
No, it was Liquid Tension Experiment. And on one of their albums, no, I think it was Dream Theater, when at one point it's the song is called When the Water Breaks.
Okay.
And at one point in the song you just hear at that point in the recording process was exactly when the baby was born.
Oh.
So he stopped working. Went and was a dad and came back and was like, all right, let's keep going.
Let's finish it. Nice. Yeah. That's cool, man.
That's what something. Those guys are about.
Or there's a hidden bell that you don't know where it is in the game world, but people can ring it. And if they do, the dummy of a scary clown will jump out of a location in your studio.
I don't know.
And it'll scare someone or no one. Yes.
Yeah, just flopping around.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Good game.
So we're here at your studio in your anti-sound room.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's why
you have
so
to destroy
good.
All sound, and that's what this room is about.
If I can take a minute to lower your heart rate, there are 6 composers on Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. I got you.
That's a super manageable quantity.
That was really good that you got that out there.
Yeah,
That's whatever. That's like a week.
Yeah.
The problem is you could bang through all these tracks in a couple months, but that's contiguous, and that's not humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take breaks and like sleep sometimes and like go out with the family. And,
you don't know what sleep is.
I'm starting to open. It's like
understand it.
Look, I'm like Ariel in The Little Mermaid. Like I've been up to the surface. I understand what's up there, and I want more.
I'm sorry.
You need legs. You need legs. Damn it. No.
I want to be with the people.
Oh my god! All right, we're done.
Valencia Mall.
You see,
there are
we like to sometimes again deliver factoids. There are sometimes factoids and breaking news, ice breaking news actually.
Ice breaking news.
So we want to catch the viewers up to speed because there's some ice breaking news.
This is important.
Do you want to preface this? I'm not sure if you.
Yeah,
we're
going to take it back to the start.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We're going to take it back to the start. So the Fast and the Furious. That's a movie.
It's indeed.
That happens.
It's an institution.
Are you guys aware of the title, The Fast and the Furious?
It's just The Fast and the Furious?
Just the title, not the movies. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah.
So. When you go to Japan.
Uh-huh. Things are different.
It's not called The Fast and the Furious.
What is it called?
It's called Wild Speed.
Oh, cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different Fast and the Furious movies.
Uh-huh.
So like Fast and the Too Fast, Too Furious, as you recall.
Yeah.
As Japan, you guys must know.
25 Fast, 34 Furious, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We're all meme lords here. Let's
it became Wild Speed X2. Right. So
times two.
So anyone who's paying attention goes, hold on a minute, that's a video game naming convention. This is going places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift equals Wild Speed X3 Tokyo Drift.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where do you go from there? Well, Fast and Furious, which is the part 4 name, becomes Wild Speed Max.
Yeah.
Right?
We're getting started now.
So, so
it's like Razor name.
Yeah.
Fast 5, right?
Yeah.
What do you do in Japan? Wild Speed Mega Max.
Whoa! This is crazy.
All right.
We're revving up the engine.
Fast and Furious 6. Where do we go? Well, Wild Speed Euro Mission. That's what happened.
I guess, yeah.
That makes sense.
There was one mission in Europe.
All right.
Okay.
It's like Snake's Revenge becoming the new, you know.
Exactly.
Sure, yeah.
Furious 7, Wild Speed Sky Mission. That's what happened. Right?
Okay, yeah. And Forest Friends is, you know.
So that's the lineage, right? And so the breaking news is
scientists are asking,
where do we go from here? Now, Matt this weekend informed me that the name of the new movie
in America,
Part 8, is The Fate of the Furious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, look, damn.
Did you see Sheena's face contorted and like and I think it was glee and wonder.
Yeah. It's like, fuck you. That is sick. So, it only works when your dumb series has 7 entries before it.
Yeah.
Can you drop a name like The Fate of the Furious?
So Will, you put on your lab coat.
And yeah.
You conducted a study.
I have to know.
You conducted a study.
Oh, okay. Wait. Before we even get there.
Sure.
I said, Wooly,
yeah,
what
take
would
this in, man?
Wooly, what would this be called in Japan then? And Wooly took a guess. Do you remember your guess?
I don't even know. It was like Wild Speed Destiny, I believe.
You said Wild Speed Destiny.
I would say Destiny of Wild Speed. That would make some sense.
Destiny of Wild Speed is good too.
But when you start, when you amp up the stakes and you go to The Fate of the Furious, you get that serious with it, you got a match, you know? And so I didn't know where to go from there.
So we're going to Destiny, it's just World.
Yeah, it's like a Transformers thing.
Yeah. It's going places, right?
Wild Speed Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And so the rumors right now, it looks like, well, it's not rumors because I saw the logo for it, but The Fate of the Furious in Japan is going to be called Wild Speed Ice Break. They're going in hard. And I don't know where this ends because we've played with every variant of Fast and of Furious so far that I'm like, the only place you go with Part 9 is just call the movie The Fury. Or something along those lines.
Yeah, something ultra stripped down. We're going that aesthetic direction where everything is just like, you know, instead of Walking Dead, it's just like
The Dead.
Yeah.
Or The Walking.
Get minimalist with it.
Is the new reboot.
But, I am thoroughly all about this life of Wild Speed and its video game Street Fighter-esque naming convention.
The deal with you is that you don't even really just love these titling naming conventions.
I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a single one.
I know you haven't.
In Japan, you see them on, yogurt. It's like, Roleplay Alpha Turbo EX,
whatever.
It's the best.
Street Fighter naming tactics is what this is called.
It's good.
Does anyone out there that's listening know of any American franchises or series that have had Japanese translations that have titles like this? The best guess I could think of at the time is maybe the Resident Evil movies.
With the Biohazard stuff?
Liam suggested they're probably just called Biohazard.
Yeah,
they probably are. But if they have dumber, like Biohazard Retribution of Fate side story, Legend of Alice.
Gaiden.
I don't know.
There.
There's got to be something. Please let us know if there's anything that's even akin to the Fast and the Furious.
We have to go deeper.
Yeah, no.
We have to go deeper.
There's lore to be mined out of that that cave.
Get your hard hats.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I guess with that, we can find out what our weeks were like because I believe we had them.
We've had a busy week.
Whoa. Was there a week that took place in your life?
But we're currently in LA, like we kind of alluded to, but we can all get into that quickly about what have you been up to, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But before that, really quickly, aside from LA stuff, I failed to mention it last time, but I told you a bit, but I recently finished The Disaster Artist, the novel based on The Room. Are you guys familiar with the motion picture, The Room?
Wait, the
Tommy Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, I've seen it 8 times.
Okay.
It's
so bad.
Okay. So I'm here at a new friend each time with my buddy Pablo.
Right. So
the Battle Toads 2 from before.
Oh,
He forced this on me the first time, and he's like, you're infected now.
The Room gets forced upon people often.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
They always inoculate someone else, and they're just like, well, thanks, but
my cherry hasn't been popped yet, so
we'll get there.
I'm that weird ass dude who watched it a second time in his
by myself
the next day.
You're like, it's getting better.
No, I'm just trying to understand
it.
I'm trying to understand what's so unique about his mind.
It's physically not possible to, like, understand.
Well, if you want a good insight, you read this making of book that's written by co-written by the other actor that played the blonde guy, Mark. By the way, Mark, how's your sex life?
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of hesitant to read that because of the mystique of the superhero.
No, they still don't know.
They still don't know.
He surmises, he muses about how Tommy Wiseau works. But if you've seen the movie, anyone that, you know, really took my recommendations for watching Terrace House, you put it, if you don't know this book, put it in that, move that recommendation over if you finish that and put it into The Disaster Artist, because it's one of the funniest novels I've ever read. It's like, it's gonna be my top 10 novels I've ever read, because it was so hilarious. And if you've watched The Room, like, it's gonna be even better. But even if you haven't watched it, he does such a good job of explaining, like, this is how I met Tommy Wiseau. This is how I got conned into being into this movie. And these are all the problems that I'm going to explain, that if you can't understand it when you watch the movie, I'm giving you the breakdown of why it was like that.
But no actual answers to the mysteries are delivered.
Like, many paragraphs end with, "But I'm not even sure."
This is just what I saw.
This
man.
Is just what I saw.
I just
it was
there.
And when I mentioned,
excited, like, to know that they still don't really understand him.
Yeah, and this is apparently the guy that knows him best, that knows Tommy Wiseau the best.
All right,
apparently.
Check it out. I was just writing, I'm working on a wiki article about my composing technique, right? Mm-hmm. And I was working on it last night, and I was just kind of lamenting the fact, like, in the side notes, that I haven't read a book since, like, 2012 or 2013 properly, just sit down and read a book.
Right.
And so maybe I'll make that my first. I'll get a Kindle and I'll read this on it.
Or you can listen to the audiobook version.
I can't listen to audiobooks.
Fair enough.
Anyway, oh, this motherfucker.
It takes too long to get through because, like, I don't have enough time to sit there.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
It's too engaging. I can't sit through it and stuff. You know?
But what you're watching is the masterful work of a segue artist here as he brings us right into our sponsor. Luke, which is not actually an
audible
audiobook
at all.
I was going to say, where are you going with this?
Oh, I thought that's where you were going.
No.
I'm sorry. When you said audiobook, my brain went there. I was like, what?
No, because I'm mentioning an audiobook because I listened to one.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Pants down.
Wait,
never mind.
I'm going to take a big break. All right. Ooh. No, check it out. Like,
Ooh, cringe. Oh, all right. Geez. I totally misread that.
That's fine.
On your screen,
because
it's the wrong one.
So here's what I was gonna say.
Sure.
Before we segue, was I can't listen to audiobooks, but I want to make them for people.
That's interesting.
Okay.
I want to make a music theory primer and rant at them while reading it while going over it and stuff. So people who have sight disabilities are able to listen to a music lesson that I've written, like, carefully and planned.
Right.
And I'm delivering in, like, my crazy fucking mad scientist impassioned robot drone.
Okay,
right.
Like, I think people would be into that, but I can't consume them, but I want to produce them. Like, we were talking earlier.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't watch Let's Plays, but I mean, all the time.
Yeah, I was just lamenting the fact that I've never listened to these guys before. I am ashamed, but after... Yeah.
That's a proper eye roll, Shana. That's a proper one.
After hanging out with them properly, like... We met once for Shovel Knight interview.
Yeah, if anyone that watched it for our 3 years ago, our E3 videos, we went to E3. We interviewed some people at Yacht Club, and Shovel Knight wasn't even out yet. Mm-hmm. And you were there, and you're in the video and stuff, and we're just, you know, pleasantly chatting about Shovel Knight. That's all it was.
Go look that one up. You get to see fat happy Jake. I was doing my best to put on a smile, but just it's tragic. It's I'm doing my best, guys.
Well, you were pleasant to us, so it was fine.
But it was a highlight of my day. Not kidding.
That's nice to hear. It was a highlight meeting you guys then too. So
now nervous. Kiss.
Yeah.
Now
maybe later.
Yeah.
I was so afraid Shovel Knight wasn't going to be a success. We had no idea.
You fucking nailed it then.
We worked so hard because we were so worried that it wasn't going to be successful because, you know, we kind of knew all along that people were down with it based on the fan reaction, but like. We were so afraid that we'd, you know, burn out and, you know, face typical development hell before we finished it.
Well, I'm sorry to break it to you. I'm getting alerts here. Apparently it flopped. So
it was a
huge failure. Shovel Knight just didn't take off.
Reports are coming in from the field.
People are returning Shovel Knight as quickly as they can.
Because it was so successful, we got roped in to do a lot of extra DLC content. And I say that lovingly because we are grateful for every one of our backers. But the end result is... Holy crap, we got to do like 2 more years of work on this DLC expansion stuff and the, you know, battle mode and all that stuff. We got to do so much more work. But luckily for me, because this is my dream gig, I get to write a lot more music.
There you go.
So much more to do.
Yeah. So you mentioned your mad scientist drone voice.
Yeah.
So the audiobook of the disaster artist, the guy that wrote it, does his impression of Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, yeah.
And wow. He nails it. And that's the only voice he does. He does it deadpan, just reading an audiobook for like, but he gets a Tommy Wiseau and he's like, Tommy, but that's not going to work. That it doesn't make any sense. No, it looks like the hell. Stop that. This is big professional shoot.
Everything you explained to me about this just sounds like Ed Wood.
Yeah.
Like that's the vibe I get.
Yeah.
Weird, like completely on another wavelength type of person.
Yeah.
I've long thought that. I'm sorry, I'm the cynic in the room, I'm the 9/11 truther. I'm not actually one. I'm comparing myself to one.
If the Earth's not flat, how does it fit on a turtle's back?
Exactly.
You know?
Checkmate, atheists.
All the way down, right? But, okay, so check it out. Like I think he was, like, he's an actor.
Okay.
Who's doing this persona, like Andy Kaufman style.
Yeah, right.
And he's basically paid for by some ultra-smart producer who's like, let me make this guy. He's weird as shit, but he's smart, and he gets it.
So it's a work.
Yeah, he had, like, a sweatshop somewhere, and then some guy walked in to get some merch for some, you know, film production studio. They're like, dude, director guy, you gotta meet this dude. He's so fucking
I just
weird.
Made him now.
But he's smart, right? He owns his operation. You know, he's like a... You know, but they taught him how to act. They put him through, like, you know, fucking Rocky IV, Russian versus, you know, Hogs. Yeah. And now, he made this film and acted in it like this total weirdo. And he keeps the persona going in public, just like Andy did.
So, but the little bits of details you get is that, like, when he's being brought around, the actor in the movie, Tommy Wiseau is bringing him around San Francisco. He's like, what's this building? He goes, oh, I own it. Like, okay, but what is this building? Like, what is it? And he goes, no, don't worry about that. USA Fashions. And he goes, what is that, Tommy? And he goes, it's my company. I do some promotional work. I have to go to London for 9 months now. And then he's like, oh, okay. What? Like, it doesn't give you more insight, but it makes you more intrigued.
Yeah, more.
So I finished this book in like all less right. than a week, which is astounding for me. I'm a slow reader because I read like, you know, 20 pages and then put it down for like two or three days. But
yeah.
I burnt through it and that was a real delight. I want to read it again type book.
Yeah.
I want to go through it again.
Oh, that's rare.
And aside from that, I played some Dead Rising 4. I booted that up right before we left and I was actually kind of liking it. And there was something about the cutscenes in the story because it's very cutscene story heavy at the start where I was like, wow, I like this editing. I like the dialogue here. There's lots of quick cuts of like Frank arguing with the new Frank rather. And the new voice actor I actually like quite a bit.
Okay.
What do you think of his dialogue? Because it's like he has a different kind of tone.
His tone is like he jokes a lot to get over the fact that he got double-crossed by the kind of government where he was trying to expose more zombie stuff after being famous. And then he's, like, bitter about that. And when people talk to him about it, he goes, like, nah, man, just, like, zombie-bomby joke. And they're like, are you just doing this to mask the fact that you're miserable? And he goes, maybe. Hmm. Maybe I'm doing that. So right now I really, really like it. And he's arguing in very early on, he's arguing with a woman in a car. And he goes – and she goes, what? This is my car, Frank. You're not going to drive. He goes, I always drive the car. You're not going to drive. He goes, I always drive the car. You're not going to. And it cuts. And then he's happily driving the car.
Right.
And she's like, you know, whatever.
Smash cuts. Yeah. Okay.
So I played like a good hour of it. And I was like, this is fun. This is good. And I like the cutscenes in the story. But aside from that, I didn't get much farther. But you know, essentially it's still like Dead Rising 2.
DR3 gameplay, basically.
No. It's more like DR3 was like, open world, like an entire city to go through.
But like this combining weapons, I heard was like the big thing that they were pushing in this one.
Well, that's what they pushed for the last bunch.
Right, you're right. Not one. Yeah,
right. One is the only one. But
Dead Rising people always pushing stuff.
Pushing zombies, that hot market.
Vehicles are still a big thing in this one, right?
I didn't get to them if they are, but I was enjoying it. But
oh, Lord, I hope so. That's most of the fun.
Man.
It's just plowing through a whole bunch of, I guess the zebra head. I mean, when you're in the first one. You can get the horse heads and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out the best element of Dead Rising series.
Like the whatchamacallit head, the servbot head as well, and stuff like that.
All gameplay videos hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like watching anyone in a horse head is just hilarious. Unless you're one of those people who's like, horse heads are so over.
Yeah.
No, they're coming back. There's a lot of news.
The T-Rex costumes, the new hot shit right now.
There's a Morrigan outfit where like Frank is just full on in Morrigan from Darkstalkers cosplay.
Pretty strong.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't get much farther than that, but aside from that, something you wouldn't think I would watch, but we just said let's throw it on because we had some recommended to us, The Crown on Netflix, which is about Queen Elizabeth coming into prominence and whatever. I'm like, why would I watch that? I'm not into Pride and Prejudice or old timey like British things like that. I never watched a single episode of Downton Abbey or anything like that. Yeah. And then people like swear by that show. They're like, oh, it's so good.
I hear it's like really good.
Yeah.
The show though.
It's
so super, super lavishly made.
I watched about 9 episodes of The Crown and was really – I'm like, oh, my God, Prince Philip, what are you doing? And like, no, all he just wants to do is drive the plane, but Elizabeth can't. But, oh, what is she going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, it came to that really, really quickly. It's one of those things where I just went, okay, next episode, next episode, next episode. Like, there's no – Elizabeth isn't jumping through the windows, shooting 2 guns. There's no zombies. There's no nothing. It's just
weird because that actually happened. But
I mean, check Wikipedia, you know.
Well, John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Plays.
He's in this? Wow.
Yeah, no, okay. He plays, Winston Churchill.
Okay.
And I'll just give you this line, Wooly. And then goes, have people told you that I'm a monster? Yeah, that's okay. I am a monster. You need to be a monster to beat Hitler. So that's the line that he has.
Yeah.
That he says very, very early on. John Lithgow is really good in it.
Well, John Lithgow is really good, period.
And Matt, I forget the actor, he played a Doctor Who.
Third Rock threw you off.
Exactly.
But I was at that age where I didn't like being yelled at or I resented being, so I disliked high volume stuff. I didn't even like the Sega Genesis because it was too blaring.
Don't talk to me like that, TV.
Man, you know, don't talk to me like that, TV. It was just all on all the time.
But what was that the snow movie where he's the bad guy?
Cliffhanger.
But that's the Lithgow of origin.
I've come around hard on John Lithgow.
Yeah, and so it's I haven't finished it yet, but
Prince
like
Stewart too well, right? Let's just throw yeah cast, you know
what weird action movie was French Stewart in? Stargate. Where his eyes are always open.
What?
Yeah. He plays a tough soldier in Stargate, the movie, not the show or anything like that.
He would have badass. I would have him over for tea.
And like JGL is just JGL. Like Joseph Gordon-Levitt is doing his thing.
It doesn't matter. He shines at everything.
Doesn't even matter. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like whatever kids. He's like the cool kid in class. Just shows up, you know, aces the class and just runs off. Presumably to mess with girls or something. We don't even know.
Third Rock. Third Rock from the Sun is like, it's like The Wire. It's like everyone went on to do well, I believe, to some degree.
I don't think the mom woman did. Who? The female Who? Character.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she did anything. While there's no action scenes, there was one thing where historically this like deadly fog rolled into London and stayed around for 3 days.
Wow, that's an episode.
Yeah, so. Churchill's like, we will beat the fog. Because there's like this is why it's exciting. It's like there's a report. There's an environmental report. So this is in the 50s. People are like, environment? What? Science? Shut up. So like a report is sent to Churchill and he's like, blah, blah, no. Out of my face.
Going into
the evil fog rolls into town and then Churchill's like, what? I didn't know. And they're like, no, we sent you the report. He's like, we all beat the fog. And what? Yeah, it's rolling into Nixon. It's really, really good. And that was an episode where I'm like, I need to watch more of this. Like there was an evil fog.
Okay.
That was kind of anything of note I've done leading up to this trip.
That's pretty cool.
Right, jumping on a
recommend
plane.
Recommend it.
All right. Let's jump across. Sheena, what'd you do this week?
a lot of bullshit, I guess. I guess I should start off by saying that, like, I have this, like, guilty pleasure for really shitty TV shows. Like, every once in a while. So I guess, like, I recently discovered that MTV, and I, like, I don't, I...
You
I
recently have, like, discovered Netflix. MTV?
No, I recently discovered that MTV has a show, and it's, like, a spinoff show of if they turn, like, the horror movie Scream into a TV show.
Oh, the Scream show.
Yeah. And I recently had discovered this, and I was like, what is this garbage? And I was like, you know what? My curiosity, because, like, I didn't, like, Scream is, like, my least favorite, because it's too campy, but that's the appeal.
And you like horror shit.
Yeah, I love horror shit. I love horror shit a lot. But, like...
You have Scream Jason tattooed on your arm right there.
Don't tell the people that. That's lewd. And so it's like... I was like, yeah, well, Scream is, like, a little, like, it's campy, but I can see the appeal, and it's cute, and it's campy thing, but not, like, an actual horror movie. So I was like, I wonder how MTV is going to turn this, and it's super campy, and it's so awful that I sat here, and I was like, it's like a train wreck that I could not stop watching, sort of thing. So I ended up, like, binge watching, like, an entire season of it this week, while also... playing Hearthstone, because all I have time for nowadays is only Hearthstone and Overwatch, and working on Spookies HD. Okay.
Confirmed.
Do they attempt to actually make it scary for TV proper, or is it just, like, fully aware?
So I wouldn't call it proper horror. It's, like, more mystery. Like, one of my favorite, like, movies/books of all time is called The Bone Collector.
Yeah.
And it's super, like, some parts are a little, like, ooh, but it's mostly, like, mystery. More, like, leave it to the imagination on how this person may have died and all this other stuff with the vague details that you are given. And that's basically, like, what that show did, is that, like, there were some moments that I was like, oh, that's gross, but not, like, I wasn't, like, scared, like, jumping out of my seat or anything. And I was like, that's some cool mystery and a cute little bit of plot twists here and there sort of thing.
That seems to be the right way to play it for TV, because I'm thinking of, like, True Detective or, like, Hannibal. You know, and things like that, where, like, that's pretty much what they go for, is more like the mystery is what you can do from episode to episode. Whereas,
Hannibal is just gross. Like,
it's grossing you out. Jump scares are not really what you're going for on TV.
I mean, of course, it does have jump scares every once in a while, but it's like maybe a jump scare, like, once per episode sort of thing. It doesn't purely rely on just, like, jump scare. It's more like, oh shit, this, like, weird spooky thing happened, and then that's the end of the episode, because you're like, but who was phoned? Who did this? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what's going on? Who's the dude behind the behind the mask, or girl? Who's the dude or the girl behind the costume? Like, who is, like, conspiring against these, like, teens or whatever? And, like, why are they having sex while their friends are getting murdered? Like, what the shit's happening here? It's like,
Everyone needs to keep busy, you know?
Fear can make you motivated in ways you didn't expect.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I guess the adrenaline is just going to give me a boner, I guess.
I get a boner every time I go on a roller coaster.
Gross.
Like, you didn't know that.
I guess.
Jake spent the entire weekend on Space Mountain.
We're getting tons of factoids.
I don't know if you guys even actually noticed, but, like, when you come into like the street coming down from our building, you can see Six Flags Magic Mountain.
You can.
Yeah, we did. We
saw it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that makes sense. Like, I was going to say, so you get your kicks. Is that where you go in the afternoon?
I have to get a boner on Goliath.
I don't have, like, a response.
Or Riddler. Yo, fun factoid. I'm going to drop
yes,
factoid.
Yes, please.
Down.
Bam.
If you ever make it out to Six Flags Magic Mountain, go during a busy, populated time, such as during a holiday. Make sure the music is playing on the Riddler's ride. If all of these criteria are met.
When you say the Riddler, is it, like, just put, like, a generic
that's the only place it can be going.
There's a roller coaster called Riddler's Revenge.
Okay.
And it's Batman branded.
Okay.
Right.
They have Superman ride and Batman.
Is it like Jim Carrey Riddler, or is it just generic, like, comic book Riddler?
It's comic book Riddler. It's meant to be timeless. The roller coasters are old.
The Jim Carrey Riddler is timeless.
I know, it is timeless. It's just one new Riddler.
But they went with the comic. They went with the comic.
Yeah. They went with the character overall.
Okay. Right. Yeah. The idea.
Because Willy's on a big Batman Forever kick now.
Six Flags Magic Mountain, there's no real branding or anything on the ride. It's just a green roller coaster.
Sure.
And they play techno music on the waiting queue.
Yeah.
And my dude brought me there one day. The Battletoads dude from before, again, this guy's amazing. He's like this fountain of knowledge. Yeah, Pablo. And then he's like, listen to the music as it loops because it plays forever. It repeats. Listen to the music as it loops. And then he's coming up. It's coming up. Listen. And it's like, Ecuador. Do, 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 do. He's like, here it comes. Do, 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 do. This is a tens of millions of dollar ride. The music is like bad loops. Somebody got paid for this.
Why aren't you doing that? Why are you not doing that?
Cash out.
Because I ain't shit, girl. I can't make music for rides yet. I'm still working my way up in that industry. I want to make music for a ride someday, but I want it to be like, you know, I want it to be like they come to me and are like, you know, we need you to do music for our
and to fit our criteria, make sure it does not loop right.
If the audience can't tell where the loop ends, they get nervous and it makes them uncomfortable. They have to be able to hear where the loop starts and ends.
Something has been reset.
Well, that, I mean, it started to make me call into question the safety of the road.
The safety of the road.
How do I know the seatbelt will keep me in place?
Absolutely.
Why should I believe anything?
It's so true.
Or because it's a
is this really a magic mountain?
Dark magic mountain.
I don't know, man.
A sloppy attitude all around, right?
I'm gonna
loop stuff freaks me out too. Like it's a small world at fucking Disneyland makes me like the most anxious that I'd ever been.
That's awesome.
Because it loops so perfectly. That it's like, when did the song stop?
It just gets stuck in my head more than anything.
When we take our flight home in a few hours, I'm going to be listening to the music that they play when you start sitting down a little more carefully.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What It's a Small World really is an early and unfair example of interactive music.
Uh-huh.
Because positional music, you know, things like,
yeah.
You know, some games like Portal, as you're flying through the air, it's like,
yeah,
and it's in sync to the music, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what It's a Small World is. It's like the music is in sync with each other, but there's different layers that pop through, you know, as you go further through it.
Yeah, flavors.
And that's like not okay.
It's brilliant.
It's awesome.
They used the powers for evil and made the most cloying song in history. They did the song that doesn't end with Disney magic. F you guys.
I thought it was cool.
I love Disney.
I hate it, man.
It's a Small World is not a fair thing
it's
to put
small
on the
world. It's a Small World. That one and the Lincoln thing are just like the worst things because
it's a good hack,
like,
basically.
Animatronic noises the entire time. Yeah. It's like...
No, they don't do that. You didn't hear any animatronic noises. You were just...
With the Small World one? Absolutely.
You were just hallucinating with fear.
Like, I'm imagining like Pirates of the Caribbean and the sounds of the joints turning as they like... You know, but
and tell no tales. Their eyes turn red.
Like, and he like stands up off the ride, and you're like going under, and he just drops down, and it's just like, well, fuck.
You know, I'd ride that though if they had like a Dark Pirates kind of freaking, you know, Pirates of the Cursed Caribbean or something like that.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
You know, and they, it was scary like an Indiana Jones ride. What if they rebooted it in 50 years?
Are you retarded? That's like really scary.
I would.
That's like that. Super scary. Just that was like legitimate concern and fear.
Slowly implement more like Cthulhu-esque, like old gods. Yeah, man.
Let's make it explicit.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's merely a spawn of the all-knowing one who sleeps.
Right. Like you took a right past the boat and you head to Innsmouth and then like you just go. Yeah. You just keep going.
I would love to go to the H.P. Lovecraft Disney ride. Yeah. That'd be great.
But they already have a ride that makes my sanity rude, and that is the Cars ride.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's utterly terrifying because they have full size animatronic cars that drive up at you in your face. Like Mater comes up, he's like,
man.
So terrifying, but also powerfully arousing.
You know the cow
bonus is what we call
the bull that's like a combine, you know, a harvester. Yeah, yeah. He's like charges at you, and his eyes are red. And he's like, steam's coming out of him, and I'm just like, I did both.
It's all there. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense why it was kind of sticky and just like weird.
All three.
I did all three. I may have lactated. I'm not sure. It could have been sweat.
Not confirmed.
It could have been a little spritz.
More research needs to be done.
Pro tips. Yeah. For
did you get up to anything else, Sheena? Or?
No, my life is just work.
Okay.
It just consists of Hearthstone because I don't want. Oh, and Pokemon. Sorry, Pokemon. So that's about it.
But she's got to exist in my presence now, and it kind of like requires adjustment.
Yeah, because you're because sometimes you may lactate, sometimes you may not.
So.
Yeah.
Right, and then the thing is, it's just like, and it happens like when at uncomfortable times when we're at the Mexican restaurant and we're eating these delicious ass burritos, and then the waiter's just like kind of walks up and he's like,
"Sir, excuse me, sir, then, could you, sir, please?"
Oh. It's like a Super Soaker commercial, but they put it in the chat.
Liam, please.
No!
Liam, save us.
Help us.
Sorry.
Tell us about...
I also got a huge erection this week when NAC 2 was announced.
You did!
You're the only one.
You're back. You're here. So, you went to PSX.
So, this is a fucking packed week for me. I was in California State, which is quite a ways from here, I hear.
Yeah.
Last weekend for a PlayStation Experience. I went there with my girlfriend.
Yo!
And we had a blast there last year. We had a blast there this year. Very, like, player-focused convention. Lots of setups. A lot less, like, business going on the floor.
Yeah.
It's also, like, really well-organized, too. So, like, there was the press conference, which was, like, stacked end-to-end.
And
like,
we gave our impressions lightly on what went down. Yeah. But, like, you were there for it and got your hands on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So, like, real quick on just on the press conference thoughts. Like, I was, when the first thing was Uncharted Lost Legacy, right? Mm-hmm. And like very early into that trailer, I started joking like to my girlfriend, but also loudly so people around me could hear. I was like, this is NAC 2. This is NAC 2. And like, I felt pretty good when people started laughing, right? And then eventually when we got to NAC 2, the guy behind me patted me on the back and he was like, yeah, you got it, man. And I was like, yeah, I got it, man.
Nice.
But there was a lot of cool stuff in there that I liked. Uncharted looks really, really cool. I'm amazed and really happy that Windjammers is back.
Yes.
Good Lord, yes.
Yes. Yeah,
fucking awesome. Really cool.
For real, real, real.
That was one of those games that I had played a lot in the arcade and then I completely forgot it existed while I played Super Dodgeball and other type of shifting
action sports games.
Action sports games, mm-hmm. right? And then we played it at Facebook that one time with...
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. With Cancel, yeah.
Yeah, with our friends, we went to the Facebook offices because one of them is a cubicle guy there.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
And they have a freaking Windjammers cabinet.
That's sick.
No kidding.
Yeah. Someone knows the deal.
Yeah, free to play, just like, but they also had a cooler community with beers.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome, actually. They have a monopoly on Windjammers cabs.
Yeah.
So, and there was like a something that happened where, like, culturally, like, three individual, like, groups of people just said, we need to bring Windjammers back and started making their own Windjammers-like games.
I have that on my list. Right. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
But, like,
but now Windjammers is actually coming back for real. For real, real. So yeah, Marvel Infinite looks fucking awesome. I haven't gone back to look at the trailers again. I just got the extremely hype reaction from in the crowd.
Yeah, that one guy that was losing his mind. Yeah, that was great.
That was a good pop.
You will never be as excited as Marvel guy.
Yeah. and like, it was kind of neat. Like, PSX has kind of like cemented itself as a more like core focused thing. You know, like two Yakuzas announced. Somehow East got on the stage. I guess it was a typo or something. like Danganronpa and Nier, like center stage, you know. So I really dig that. And then like I actually went into the convention. So it only opens on Saturday after the event in the morning. Because they don't want to spoil you by like having stuff on the show floor.
Okay.
And I played like a shitload of stuff. I played this cool fighting game called Fantasy Strike.
Yeah.
not the one you're thinking.
Not the one you're thinking of.
Okay.
Did you talk about this at all?
Fantasy Strike.
We talked about it when it was first announced.
We talked about it a little bit, but I mean, basically, the guys behind Yomi are making a fighting game proper, and this was something I know that they've been working on for some time, and it's pretty much just like, you know, it's another way of introducing people to advanced mechanics in fighting games without like shoving it down your throat.
Yeah, and Dive Kick was kind of like a jokey in-game for like people who like fighting games. Yeah. I mean, don't remember, everyone could play it, no problem. But like it was definitely like really appealing to like FGC
people
already. And this is a lot more like general, but it is really fucking good. Another super gameplay focused game I played was Way of the Passive Fist.
Yeah.
Which is one of the combat designer for Guacamelee and Severed. He's the main guy on it. And it's a game.
Guacamelee.
It's fucking awesome, that game. I really
dig it. It's a guilty pleasure game.
It's really great. So this game that he's making, it's a 2D beat 'em up. But like 80% of your movesets is parries and counters and like dashes and dodges as opposed to punches. You can punch.
Because it's the way of the pacifist.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the passive fist.
Passive fist.
Oh, you got it. Mind you, not a guilty... I didn't want to diss Guacabella. It's not a guilty pleasure because it's, you it's know, great. Bad. It's like a guilty pleasure because I'm stalling to play it. You know?
It's a great game.
I'm procrastinating to
it. But I played that for a little while. I really dug it.
It's so good. It's such a good time waster.
The first thing I saw when I got out of the press conference was actually Disc Jam, one of the not Windjammers.
Yes.
And... the first thing I saw, and this might have been a total coincidence, but...
Okay, I was wondering if you were going
to
talk about
it. I was trying
this.
To... Windjammers I was hoping,
was
yeah.
just announced, like, yep. 20 minutes ago, maybe 10 minutes ago, and I come out and I walk past the Disc Jam booth, and one of the guy, the devs on Disc Jam is just...
has his head in his hands, and he's just crouched down like that.
And I don't know if it was a coincidence or not, but, like, all like there's, like, three different...
versions.
Windjammers-esque games coming out.
Yeah.
And, like, it seems like a pretty safe market because Windjammers never coming back, right?
Yeah. And Dave Lang was ensuring it would never come back.
And yeah, and right there, Windjammers. So it might have been a total coincidence, but he looked pretty bummed right then and there. He, you know, they all seemed pretty happy throughout the rest
of the game. Well, all you got to do is make a better game than Windjammers.
And they have a better game than Windjammers. Honestly, like
which one?
Disc Jam.
Okay.
Which is the only one I've played of the not Windjammers games.
Okay.
In the long-running series of not Windjammers. Because
there's also Flying Power Disc.
Yeah.
It's hardly a crowded market. There's room for multiple players and let the best Windjammers like...
game absolutely. Win. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
So I did play
all
it.
The time. Why not Windjammers?
Like, yes.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Let it be the new roguelike. Let's have Windjammers.
Windjammers jammers.
Yeah.
Every game now... like
Windjam.
The new Final Fantasy has just got like... suddenly it's like the new crafting.
Final Fantasy 16 is just Windjammers.
little bit of like Frisbee play in there. Yeah.
It's got crafting. It's open world exploration, it's got wind jamming.
All survival.
All the bullet points you expect from Final Fantasy.
Absolutely,
right? Yeah.
But I played it, and like it's very evident that they've had like many years to iterate on Windjammers' core concept. You know, like nobody's fucking touched it, so it's like it's not hard to look at Windjammers and say, well, this could improve, and this could improve, and this could improve. Yeah. So like they have a better game than Windjammers on their hands. It's hard to fight the art
but
in Windjammers. The art and music in Windjammers.
I've had the problem that Windjammers doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Because you've said it so
many times. Do they have music
like,
in the game already?
What is this?
In Disc Jam?
Yeah.
I couldn't really hear it over the crowd.
But it's there?
I assume so.
Open call to Disc Jammers team. If you're out there listening, bless your soul. Thank you for bringing this bounty into the world. I'm so happy that it exists. But we could save you. I don't know if your music is good or bad, but if you're using royalty free, if you already got a composer, best of luck to them.
Good.
You can consult them. I'll give them tips and techniques or listen to their stuff and critique it. I don't care. I just want to make sure you guys are set in the music department.
Like,
that's such a big part of Windjammers.
That is like the sickest thing ever to get. Anyway,
we'll do music for you if you need it.
Dude.
Which Jesus.
Are you listening, bro? Yeah. Do you understand what is happening right
guy
now?
Guy with head in hands.
Don't
are
cry.
You listening, bro?
Dry those tears.
Yeah. If you hang around me enough, you'll know that I do this a lot, and that's how I get in trouble, because a lot of people take me up at the offer, and they're like, and now I have 10 things to do. But luckily, I have a team now, so go on.
Embarrassment
you
of riches.
The same song to every
each one.
Yeah. I played Absolver.
Absolver.
That, like,
third-person
melee combat
Devolver
game.
Fighter. Yeah.
So they only had the single player available at the show that's supposed to be multiplayer focused. And like it was like a little tutorial area. It was very Dark Souls-esque. Very Dark Souls-esque. L3 to lock on.
Yep.
Really enjoyable. Lots of defensive ideas and concepts. So, like, one of the character classes lets you, like, parry in different directions, kind of.
Yeah.
One of them lets you, like, dodge by ducking and jumping and stuff like that.
Nice.
So it's got a real good feel to it. I played Snake Pass.
Yes.
The, like, snake rattle and roll looking very
rare-esque
game.
You guys know this game?
Is it isometric?
It's like a 3D...
No, it's like a... It's a third-person camera, and you're following a snake is your character. It's by
like
Sumo
snake
Digital.
Rattle and roll.
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't actually really play like Snake Rattle. Yeah, it's just kind of like familiar.
That snake
Windjammers version of that.
But
the snake looks like he's having such a good
snake
time.
Snake looks like he's having a. There's a
his
button.
His face
on,
is so happy.
On the controller to change his mood.
Oh, that's great. He's such a happy snake,
so you
man.
You play as a snake, right? And it's quite physics based. And you hold a button to like raise your snake's head and climb. And you hold X to like coil tighter. And basically, like. There's these like structures all over these like small open areas. Like think like Banjo-Kazooie levels or Mario 64 levels. Not as big, but that kind of thing where you've got a couple jiggies or a couple stars, right? And you have to like climb and navigate your way through the level.
Where can I buy it immediately?
You can. But 2017 is coming.
So. 2017. Oh my
God. Is there a backing thing that we could use?
No, it's just coming.
It's just coming.
Sumo Digital, who made Sonic 3, the Sonic Racing games. Yeah. Like, those guys have been trucking, and I talked to one of them. Yeah. I'm happy that they're getting to do their own original thing now.
Dope.
They gave me a little rubber snake for playing, too.
So aww,
that was a bonus, you know.
Is it a coral snake or a king snake? I grew up in Florida.
It was a rubber snake.
I was supposed to remember. If it's red and yellow, you're not going to die.
It's red and yellow, you're okay, fellow.
Red and yellow, you're okay, fellow?
Yeah, and then the yellow and black, you're dead, yeah. Jack.
Matt also grew up there, so.
Yeah.
Okay, see, I wasn't lying about that. That's the thing you got to learn in Florida. Wow. They won't let you graduate unless you...
Yeah.
You
got snake mnemonics, okay.
Yeah. I thought that was like scorpions, where you're just like, you see that thing, you just fucking run. We didn't have it.
Because one snake tries to emulate the pattern of the poisonous one to front.
Yeah.
Right.
To be like,
fake it until you make it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like the trials when you're in Florida in high school. You just have to pick one of the snakes and grab it, and if you're dead,
that's it.
If not, you graduate high school.
You become a Florida man.
Yeah.
I was just thinking Florida man. Yeah. Like, what the hell? That's so weird.
Yeah.
I was thinking that that's the spray-painted face with the blue.
Yeah.
Has been helping.
I really wanted to play Ace Combat 7, but it was one of the longest lines in the show.
What?
Yeah.
What?
The seventh Ace Combat game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Much more in line with the earlier Ace Combat games,
fair.
Too.
No, not fair. Like, testicles, no. Like...
It's in VR, too. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So they only had 4 setups at the Namco booth, so I didn't really get to play it. But everyone who came off of it was like, fuck, man, that game's legit.
Wooly's eyes will glaze over the visuals of Ace Combat and be like, sure. But his ears will twinge.
Yeah.
Oh, Ace Combat music.
It's amazing.
Guys, here's where I get to tell you my ultra secret plan for the future game dev plan. Once we have a studio here, I'm going to make a parody Ace Combat game. I've told people about this on the show too. I want to make like the Super Troopers / Airplane of Ace Combat.
Sure.
Make a constant spoof game that's just hilarious and chaotic.
Yeah.
But it's set in that like melodramatic.
Do it.
The ultra symphonic metal. I want to write that stuff, and nobody's gonna hire me for that.
No.
You gotta hire yourself, man.
I gotta make my whole own Ace Combat game.
That makes sense.
If you make enough MP3s, eventually it'll be a game.
Oh my god, that's honestly, if I make the whole soundtrack, I could probably convince somebody on like Twitter or something to just make a game for it.
Like, I want
to
make.
You should make a 10-on-10 soundtrack.
Have a game jam where I give you the soundtrack and you make a game for it.
Yeah.
Hey,
that'd be fun. That'd be a good game jam.
I want to make more because we
thinking about it.
I want to make more shows on YouTube to use their music more.
Yeah.
Just to get it out there.
Yeah. the last game I'm going to talk about is Farpoint, which I played, which is one of Sony's big VR games right now. It's the one where you have that gun controller, right?
Yes.
And you move around with a little stick on the gun controller, which I felt would be a little disorienting, cause like artificial locomotion and shit. But the gun really serves to like root you in the world really, really well. And it's kind of like similar to being, like, even though you're not in a cockpit, it gives you a similar sensation of like that groundedness of a cockpit or like a cage around you or whatever, and really keeps you from feeling like ill or sick.
Mm-hmm.
You basically got your
comfort
hands
settings, if you would.
Yeah, it's more or less the same as like, in say like Job Simulator or Batman, where your hands make it work.
Yeah.
You know, the gun makes it work in this case because you got this nice gun.
You can point in the direction you want to go, right?
You look where you want to go, and moving the stick moves you in the direction you're.
Right, so as long as you have a frame of reference,
it works quite. And the gun really grounds you. And I put the gun out of like screen, and I pushed forward on the stick, and it felt like it feels in VR.
Yeah.
But then the moment I put the gun back in, it like really helped to ground it. It was really interesting.
Maybe
actually.
It sort of fools your brain into thinking it's like a turret or something.
Well, because it felt just like a cockpit.
Yeah,
which works because like you feel like you're in that kind of like it works.
Well, it's interesting because I was reading about like because I do get motion sickness from some VR games, and I was reading about like tips and things like that. And one of the things is having a focal point that you look at while you're moving,
mm-hmm.
That is not the background,
right.
Will help ground you. And when playing Eagle Flight, they actually implement that in a way where there's certain leaves will stay on screen as you move forward really quickly, so that you can look at the leaf. Instead of the moving background.
And the eagle has a beak that you can see.
That you can focus on as well to keep you from feeling the motion sickness at maximum impact.
Yeah, because the motion sickness thing, because like Spooky's, you know, it's like, because we're making it in Unity, and then like having like VR support for like Vive and Oculus, like, so I'm trying to find that kind of middle ground with like those, so that the motion sickness, like locomotion kind of thing, just like, So it's like really interesting to me because you get like an item like later on that would probably help to ground you, but like in that beginning phase is going to be like interesting.
Yeah.
Like hearing what PlayStation has been doing to try and like fix that motion sickness kind of thing.
You should check out.
It's like shit. What do I do?
You should check out Robinson the Journey and Resident Evil 7. The demo supports VR now. Those games are like it's artificial locomotion with a stick, right? And Resident Evil 7 in particular doesn't have any, like, HUD element. Like, it doesn't have hands or a cage or anything like that. Yeah. You're just walking. But their acceleration rate is just, it's a million percent
the Resident VR demo does have hands.
Oh, when you interact with stuff.
Yeah.
But not when you're not interacting with stuff. Just walking around, you don't have anything. Yeah.
The interesting thing you told me about Farpoint was that, about aiming down the sights.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
That's super cool.
So aiming down the sights in Farpoint, because of course it's two cameras rendering, right? Oh. It actually feels just like aiming a gun, because you have to put it up to your dominant eye and close your other eye. Like, it is just like aiming down a real gun.
Sounds awesome, really, man. Cool.
And it worked really well. I was able to aim. Like, I shoot guns every now and again when I go up to my dad's place. And, like, my brother and I, like to shoot targets with our, like, air rifles as well. We don't waste bullets on target shooting. But, and, like, it felt like that. Except I didn't have to give a shit about who I was aiming at, right?
Aiming skills already applied.
I was able to aim really, really well from the beginning. And then I watched my girlfriend play right after, and she was aiming. Like, just when we streamed PSVR, Matt picked up Until Dawn Rush of Blood without ever playing it, and he was able to aim with startling accuracy. No problem.
Yeah, you point and shoot.
It was shocking for me.
It really, really accurately.
And like, eye-opening, you might say.
And like my girlfriend, who's barely fired a thing, was able to aim really accurately too. And she was kind of like aiming more from the hip, kind of. Like, she wasn't really looking. But the sight actually worked. Like, it was actually... It fucking worked. It was really, really cool. Felt really, really nice. And I mean, like, I do think it's one of those things where, like, you know, maybe the game won't hold up 5 to 10 years from now. But as, like, the first time I've tried a game like that with, like, cool gun sight actually working and stuff like that, it was really fun and really neat. And I'm keen to play the full release.
Nice.
I heard, from the dev who was on site, I was asking him, like, had people gotten sick? Like, is your locomotion, like, solution adequate? And he said, yeah, we feel pretty comfortable about that, but we've had multiple people at the con quit when they get to the cliff sides because it's too steep and people are getting vertigo and getting terrified of it. Yeah, exactly. So he said people, when they were testing the demo, people were quitting at that section. And so they implemented a thing where in each section of the demo, if you stood still for too long, they would just push you they would warp you to the next section. So you wouldn't like just leave the demo halfway and you'd get like close to the full 15-minute experience.
Okay. Yeah.
Which was pretty smart. He said that wouldn't be in the full game, but that was just like so that people still just
getting nervous
demo
standing
experience.
At the edge of the cliff. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And he said that
so bad.
He said there was a few people who took off the headset and they said, no, put it back on. It's gonna skip you. And they were like, no, it's too scary.
Okay.
And there were also some people who immediately quit, even though the line was really long. They immediately quit as soon as the spider enemies started getting up in their face.
Yeah, that's me.
There are small spider enemies that leap at your face.
Well,
and you better
now we
have figures in VR.
No,
I already have a plan for all that kind of. Guy.
Now we have a problem.
Did you ever play?
I will never play Farpoint.
you gotta try this off. Did you ever play Until Dawn? Rush of Blood.
Yeah.
The VR, yeah.
Yeah, the VR thing, yeah. It's
because they have that spider, they have that spider level.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the bit where they make you like crouch under the saw blades and the spiders crawl over the front of them?
Oh, that's so good.
That was a good jump.
It's
that
so
was like,
good.
That's
it
such
really
an
good.
Unfair
I
jump.
Yeah,
I love
I jumped.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really good. And then like after PSX, I went back to Montreal and 2 days later back out to California.
Yeah.
I took the exact same flight, backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I love it.
I can't get enough of you.
It's amazing.
Y'all
I'll be back in like 2 years. Or
just journey out and like, you know, crash our place for a while.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I guess we may as well talk about it. We came out here to go to Amazon Game Studios. We're going to ride it out there. And we streamed their upcoming game, Breakaway.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a...
We fought some
sports
buddy, some team.
Hey Video Games or something?
Hey Video Games.
Hey Tabletops.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Those guys.
We closed out, it was like 4 million rounds.
To five?
To five or... Or two. Yeah.
I think it was one.
We're still winning right now, actually, is what's happening.
Our after images are still in the studio destroying Yo video games.
I think that stream's going to go up at some point when we get back home. We're still
here. That's the only reason why it's not there.
You know, I'm going to be frank. We talked about Breakaway a bit when it was first revealed, and I was kind of not really impressed.
I was
with
a little
it.
Cool on it too,
Mostly because not – per the gameplay, I thought like, that looks kind of interesting.
Not
but
for me, but it's cool. Yeah,
not for me, but it looks cool in the sense that that's at least a bit more unique than things that are coming out recently. But I was more cool on the character designs, where I'm like, yeah, it's some Overwatch characters here and there, especially the Black Knight. But when I actually started playing it, and we had a lot of downtime when we were fooling around with it, and you got to do taunts and you got to hear a lot of voice clips. And I started to warm up to the characters where it's like, okay, you're Spartacus. You're a Roman gladiator style knight or whatever, which has been done in at least a couple of games.
And you can build sick jumps.
And the sick jumps.
You can build ramps. Big ramps. Like the Spartacus.
But when I started listening to some of his voice clips and like really looking at the character design, I'm like, actually, that's a pretty sharp design.
Yeah.
And his voice, I like his voice. And the Black Knight is like, he's actually the opposite of Reinhardt, where he's like this bloodthirsty asshole.
Right, going
nuts and like, I'll kill you all. Whereas Reinhardt is like,
come, my friends.
Yeah, it's
made by Double Helix. So those guys are good.
They're good at characterization. Yeah.
And then the game itself was fun when we played it, man. I thought it was solid.
It really clicked for me when we realized that that there's a kind of a duck button in this game. And cause just, it's basically a field, like a football field, score on the other team's side, but you can also fight. Like do combos and use special moves or cooldowns. And when you duck and you're going down a ramp, the characters slide down the ramp really fast and you can jump out of that and cross.
They continue to slide.
And there's a real good sense of locomotion that I either didn't notice when the game was revealed, when I watched the matches. And I was just like, whoa, that's really cool.
Combat has like footsies to it, knockdowns, there's a whole some setup there. So yeah, that was a really
good game. We played like a full
really
three and a bit hours, maybe even four, because we were there before the stream
started.
Yeah,
3 to 6:30 was the stream.
So it was like quite a bit, and it was actually really, really enjoyable.
Shout out to Filthy Rich, man. Thanks,
and, like,
dude.
Discretion, we were not paid to play it.
No, not at all.
And the only thing we got paid for was the pleasure of destroying Yo video games.
Yes, exactly.
The more we lie, the better we feel.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So that was the only payment. That's the payment we deserved.
And the only other thing I did this week of significance was accuse SNK of not having balls.
Yes, thank you.
Because
you guys should hear this.
They just take Shinkiro and they say, hey, redo this other artist. Like, this artist designed all these Sam Show characters. That's cool. But where'd you gonna get Shinkiro to draw fucking Haruka and put him on the thing instead of letting this other artist have a chance?
Liam and I can sit and go back and forth on the art in SNK games forever. To the point that
the art's amazing, by the way. Shinkiro's an amazing artist.
To the point that we actually did and almost missed our plane because we were sitting there, last people that didn't board, arguing about King of Fighters art.
We were 20 minutes late to getting on the plane.
Samurai Showdown had to be discussed.
Like, just to back up a bit. It was like we were about 10 feet away from our gate.
We were so close
and
to the gate.
I went to go
Everyone
get some
left.
Food or get whatever. And I come back and I look and I see that the gate has like a huge lineup of people. I'm like, that's like at least 10 minutes of more waiting. So I sit down and these guys are talking about SNK versus Capcom. And we go, well, they had balls because they did this with their cover and they put that over there. And I was like, And I start talking a bit too. And I look back. And I see, like, the line is there, and then I just start talking to them a bit more about SNK versus Capcom and the art department, and I look, and I'm like, there's no one left at the gate. And I go, hey, guys, wait. And they're like, what? Matt, we're busy. And I'm like, I think we're late or something.
And then you got up and you're just like, well, I'm getting on the plane, I guess. Or like, yeah, I guess we should do that. And it's like, oh, no, wait, we're 20 minutes
late.
What the fuck are we doing?
Like, we're the last people on the plane. We almost missed it because of our stupidness.
And we were, like you said, 10 feet from the gate.
Yeah, we couldn't have missed it.
It would have been really sad.
Oh, God. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors. I think it's about that time. Yeah, that's about that time. Okay.
It's about that time.
We have one. We just have one. And that one is Loot Crate.
What's Loot Crate?
What is Loot Crate?
What is that?
Loot Crate is a service that sends a thing to your
door. Box.
It is a box that comes to your door. And when it comes to your door, sometimes there's cool stuff in it. Sometimes there's really cool stuff in it. Huh?
Very good.
And the box is worth
good at Kemi. Good at nice Kemi.
You can build a house with boxes.
Yeah, you can do stuff with those boxes.
Absolutely.
On the inside.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're in there too, right?
Make coffee tables.
Yeah, you can. Display cases.
Absolutely.
Oh. All kinds of fun stuff. And, like, they do that every month. It's basically a theme that changes. And this time around, since it's December, the theme is Revolution. So if you want to get in there with items that include things from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and Funko Pops.
I was hoping
T-shirts, pins, etc.
I was hoping for the Matrix and Beyblades, but okay.
Yeah,
they were a revolution.
Yeah,
those are those are not Revoluatons. Those are Revoluatons. Revoluatons. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific every month to get in on that month's crate. After that, it's over. So if you head on down to lootcrate.com/super. And use the promo code, actually, gifting15.
That's different.
You get 15% off. That's for December for Christmas. That's what's up. That's Christmas promo code.
Give the gift of revolution greats.
There you go. Good stuff. Thanks, Loot Crate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, you.
Loot Crate.
Jake, did you have 7 days that occurred in your life?
So
that you want to mention?
Let's just get the
closing his eyes and
thinking. First was I played some Forza 3, and then I went into Planet Coaster. Downloaded a copy of, I'm not kidding, The Riddler's Revenge. And attempted to figure out how to get music into it, custom background. Because they didn't have they didn't sample it, of course. You know, I had to recreate that track. I may not be able to get the loop just right, so I'll have to go there and record it and put it in there. Anyway, so I did that for 20 minutes. And then I slept and came back to work every single day to do an entire Shovel Knight song, NES version of, you know, an official track for Shovel Knight. On stream live from start to finish, from initial idea to I'm pretty much like semi-finalist draftish ready of this, you
like
know?
Like pre-mastering?
Well, no, it's pre-polish. Like,
oh, okay.
I need to go over it again and have a pass and just smooth out transitions and just get like things that I forgot to set off. I gotta set them off and on and make sure all the, you know, P's are dotted and Q's are crossed.
That is correct.
Teaser-eyed. So I'm doing that in front of an audience every weekday, for the foreseeable future until
where's that?
And that is at my brand new, family, twitch.tv/mintpotion.
Mint Potion.
And Mint Potion is the studio that we're in right now that we're recording this in.
Right now.
Right now. We are at Mint Potion Studios. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're not streaming right now. We stream throughout the week though. And it's pretty much just like, we turn the cameras on while we do a work day, but we're jerk-offs. We just like dick around all day. So we have fun. We play games. We talk. We chill. I have like philosophy moments with Ben. You know, we just like chill and we show that the process is one of, it's one of living and not just working.
Right.
Like, I can't sit there and focus on Shovel Knight music all 8 hours.
Because it drives you crazy after a while.
Yeah, it drives me crazy enough when I work on it. I need to, like, it's like Scooby. You got to just surface every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can only go down. You can only hold your breath so long, basically.
Dickery happens on stream, and great music comes out.
Dickery happens, and it's the best audience I've ever seen on a Twitch stream. And I'm not saying they're bad. You know, I've seen some really good Twitch audiences, you know, really supportive people. But our community is building up. They're all people who are making stuff or are interested in seeing the process and seeing it demystified a little bit.
Demystified, right.
I'm not as good about this as when I get deep into the zone and I'm just like in, you know, Jewish Rick mode.
Okay.
Know? Like, but like when I'm like super focused, I don't talk enough. But when I'm sort of just working on the track and it's coming together, I'll try to explain exactly what I'm doing and why. And people start to see the fades, like how I do a volume fade. So it's like, instead of burp, you get, you know, you want to have a ramp up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You do that with a series of numbers placed vertically in a spreadsheet. And so if you watch me do that enough, you start to see how routine it is, how simple it is, and how often I fuck it up dramatically. Despite this being my, like, you know, professional job and I'm, like, this respected guy. Dude, I'm a clumsy asshole all day while I'm working, but I have fun doing it, and I enjoy it, and there's passion in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I figure, turn the cameras on. Let's get people who are insecure or afraid of failure, and you know, to see somebody who knows what they're doing but has no freaking idea what they're doing. You know, failing their way through, faking it until they make it.
There's a saying that like we use on our channel, and it's exposing your balls live on stream. Everyone sees them, and you're like, oh no, like there's nothing to hide anymore. Because
the curtain is pulled back a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
People can see exactly how I compose music. They know what the thought process is in doing it. They can watch me go, and just kind of like think for a minute as I'm playing the music back in my head, trying to debug it before committing it to, you know, the spreadsheet.
Right.
It takes a lot of work to program that stuff. So I want to try to pre-visualize it, audiate it,
right,
in order to get the idea crystallized before I even start.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to watch that whole incredibly cringy, awkward process happen every single day. Like, this is my job. This is what I write the soundtrack, and I do it every day.
Mm.
And you can watch just how not mystical it is. You're just chiseling away at a thing and adding little details here and there and a happy little tree. So, you know, I'm not trying to compare myself to Bob Ross because he actually talked enough while he was working.
Right.
I'm sitting here grunting and being like, no, F you. No, get down there. You're not supposed to be that quiet. Move up more volume right now.
Speaking of Bob Ross, because I mentioned to you how the thing I'm most familiar with, since we know a bunch of artist friends like Mothman and Star Exorcist, that stream drawing, it's only really, like, it totally makes sense, but it's only until you mention it where I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't people stream themselves making music too?
Oh, that's a category, absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was until just now, but it makes total sense. I just never thought about it because I don't know that many people that, I guess it's not big enough because Star will draw things and everyone will go, oh, you're so talented. I love your drawing style, love whatever. And yeah, she'll make a mistake too or go, no, I don't want to do that. Or I'm going to get rid of all of this now and start over again and stuff. And yeah, it's exactly what you said. It demystifies the process so people can see that it's not a perfect drawing. It's not like those images you'll see where it's like what people think art is, like, duh. Finished,
right?
You know, it's a much more long involved process.
And then
most people can
hear the break in your loop on your song, and all the magic falls apart.
Yeah, I got a couple of bum loops and a couple of shipped games that I'm not even sure people have picked out. I think one of them somebody's caught, but one of them we fixed, and a couple they're on a cartridge now. That's
okay. Well, let them find it. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. One of the themes.
Yeah, but
one of the themes is actually poorly.
I didn't prepare that myself at all, and I'm not going to point fingers at anyone who did because I have no idea. So that's what happens when you don't have an autistic robot pervert hanging out in your office, like making sure your audio sounds.
Oh my god.
Whatever.
Well, now they're going to find
it.
Yeah. Well,
now they're going to go dig.
They're on the prowl.
Oh yeah.
I had Easter eggs.
Already found it.
There it is.
There it is.
We're using it for the outro on the podcast today. Yeah.
No. But we're only going to use it where it doesn't look.
Yeah. So in addition to all of that, I also have to score a cartoon every week. I'm on the hook until the end of next year. It's a full season cartoon. And cool. I can't say what it is yet. I can't talk about it. It hasn't been announced yet.
But it's coming.
But it's big.
It's coming.
It's already in production.
It's coming and it's awesome.
I'm
not biased or anything.
I get to write funk music. And here's the best part. This is a big client and they are okay with me streaming the music. As long as I don't show the show ahead of
that
time. Or show the dialogue. So I got to listen to the dialogue in my little DJ headphones and be like, all right, that's what they're saying in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
awesome.
And then, but I can show the music process on the stream.
That's super chill.
Live instruments. We got a drum kit right behind you, so
yep.
We can record all kinds of live whatever in here. And we're going to start streaming that, like next to Shovel Knight in a block, back
right.
to back
right,
sequence.
Right.
You know, pretty much every day.
It's awesome.
That's what we got to do to make our stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's at this point after streaming enough and testing it. There's little enough overhead technically that we can just turn on the stream. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got shitty graphics, but we work really hard on them and everyone's put in a ton of effort just to get to that point.
And that's what counts really.
But we can iterate it on the stream. We can work on the graphics like in After Effects.
You can watch
and screen.
You can watch you guys streaming and improving the stream live.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're making right. new stream borders.
That's how we do. That's not
the core concept of
something that we've done. Yeah. Yeah.
We want to make stuff. We want to make the show on the show.
Well, it's honestly like the fact that they didn't have
to constructive reality show.
Yeah, it's cool.
The fact that you didn't have to like NDA like the you know this project or anything like that to the point where you like can't even stream that stuff. Like that's a really cool liberty that you got on those projects. Like that's awesome, man.
Because the people in charge, the people that I'm working with are. They're really hip and they're with it with the you know with how the internet works, and they understand that people hype over stuff like this. They don't. It's not like spoilery.
It's not
like intellectual property being, you know,
right,
tarnished. It's like a cool fan outreach thing that you can do and build hype for the whole thing.
So yeah. Tune in and you just hear
it's
like
free to them too. So
you hear like just Star Wars music getting composed. Yeah. Like wait, what? No.
Yeah. There's music. It's all over the place. I can't say anything about the show.
Absolutely not.
But it's all over the place story wise, and so I have to write. All kinds of orchestra, and I gotta write electronic stuff. I had to write Vaporwave last week.
Okay.
It's all over the map. There's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Like a ska track at one point.
Ska track. It uses my weird video gamey stylistic sound where you can tell it's MIDI, but you know there's like heart in it, you know? So like you're cool with it even if you can kind of tell it's like a little off somehow. It's like technical and fake, you know? But it's like real. It's like played, right? And so that's the overarching style. And I'm trying to just make it as funky as humanly possible.
Okay.
Just trying to make it super ultra funky, the funkiest cartoon music since the 70s.
Appeal to the gods, man. That's it.
I don't know if I can get there, but we're trying we're going to be doing it every single day. So, like, that. I've been working on the streams, I've been doing Shovel Knight music, doing the cartoon, doing all kinds of, like, ridiculous music stuff all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, amazingly, I'm not dead now. Like, my team is keeping me sane.
Hey, congrats for that.
They're keeping a lid on it. They're making sure that I go home. They kick me out of the office every now and then. They're just like, Jake, go home. I'm like, yeah. What?
But I heard you slept in this weird attic in the office.
I was thinking, because I want an inversion table for my back. So I'm thinking maybe I could just build a coffin that hangs upside down.
There we go.
You're hearing the pitch again.
It's plausible.
Man, right? those dinks are so amazing.
Dip it into
his office.
Bath
totally
in the morning.
Sucks. Sleeping in there because, like, you know, like just like
laser.
Yeah, it's like super annoying. Like working on like spookies and trying to get all this VR shit done. Like, I sometimes crash on the couches, like, here in the office. And then so every once in a while, I'll just hear the laser start to turn and just go, like, I want to say 11 in the morning when we're not live. It's just somebody just wanted to fuck with somebody in the office in hopes that somebody was, like, around. Well, it was me, and I was sleeping on the couch, and I'm awake and pissed off.
It was someone who watches us, like, every day.
I was wondering if it was you just trying to troll me to wake my ass up, or that was, like, so... I don't believe you.
That for someone who gets so little sleep, I respect it in others. Anyway.
And it's happened more than once, too. But just, like, in a pure dark room, like...
It's fucking great.
And then you just hear flashing lights and stuff like that, and you're like, what the hell?
But what else was a fan of ours who is actually, like, watching us every day and wanted to just say, Jake, you're probably working real late. Here's some support. Like,
you mean really
support.
Early because it was 11 a.m.
Yeah, it's like cheering
it's like
you on, though.
Handing, probably still working, so here's some love. You know?
Handing the internet the key to, like, allowing them to just fuck your shit up.
24 hours a day.
Is great. I love it.
No, it's awesome. I'm trying to fucking sleep.
Wait till there's signs in this room. There's going to be a ding box in every room.
This is the recording room.
Yeah. But who cares?
It's also a
this is a sound booth or whatever it's called. Why would you do that?
We're always innovating.
Keeps you on your toes.
No, there
man.
Is an off button in case we need to like record some like high
there
school like, student or something.
Yeah,
like,
no, okay.
We're not going to zing the poor girl. You know, don't worry about it. Like for sure we have an off button, but it's going to be on most of the time, especially on streams.
That
can cause havoc to happen live
of course,
on camera.
Of course.
Directly. We'll see the results in like 10 seconds. If we ever get partnered, it'll be like pretty close to instant of one or two.
Yeah.
There's still a little latency, but it's more or less right away. It happens instantly in our office as soon as they hit it remotely. So
cool.
circle.mintpotion.com. F with us all day long.
There you go.
That's a good logo.
It doesn't distract me. It cheers me on because it knows it lets me, it reminds me that there's people out there that give
a
shit.
Yeah, I know.
They're
good.
Like, hey, dude, hope you're doing okay.
Just put some lasers in your fucking face.
Blind me with your friendship.
I told you not to do that in people's eyes, Jake.
Yeah, it's just Invader Zim style, just right in the
just
pupil.
Right in
it reflects off of like a pen or something.
Specifically designed to cause yourself pain.
Yeah.
And then I discover my Daredevil powers, and I'm just like, oh, shit.
There you go.
It's great to self-discover Daredevil powers, because a lot of people have them, but they just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to blind yourselves to find out, kids.
Did you discover any Daredevil powers?
Daredevil powers? Oh, yes. Well,
yes, I did.
In fact.
Yeah. Or that mouse. Probably treasure.
Maybe not Daredevil powers, but I read a couple comics on the way over to LA. I finished off Moon Knights, and that's not really Daredevil powers. That's like
just crazy like bipolar powers where you just see and talk to people that don't exist. In Moon Knight's case, it's Spider-Man, Captain America, and Wolverine. And that book is great. And I talked about like starting it last time a bit, and it ends really strong. No spoiler, but there's a point where those three characters that are imaginary personalities in Moon Knight's head.
Parts of Moon Knight, yeah.
But then they show up, and he doesn't know like who he's looking at, and he's like, "Oh fuck!" Like, because he knows he's crazy, but he doesn't know like which is which at one point. And it's a really trippy, entertaining read. Poor Moon Knight. He's a great hero, but he's nuts, and he knows it.
He's not a great hero. Like, well, he's a great creation, but is he a great hero?
He's a successful hero.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. There's a key to it.
He does save the day, you know. He does
get it done.
But
his own unique mental configuration.
And it's entertaining in a way that it's
an inspiring tale.
Yeah. It's not quite the Deadpool approach. It's like a bit more grounded, I guess. But, like, it's fun. It's totally fun. I read Captain Marvel and Ms. Marvel. The new Ms. Marvel being Kamala Khan and Captain Marvel, of course, Carol Danvers. Those two books were pretty fun reads. I like, cause at Liam's recommendation, actually, on both of them, I ended up liking Captain Marvel a bit more. I feel like I like her attitude and tone and just the fun go up to space with Alpha Flight, these Canadian X-Men type of thing and just, you know, punch rocks for a while and defend Earth. Yeah. It's just good old space adventure. And I had a really good time with that. The Kamala Khan origin story of like, you know, the, new Miss Marvel, Pakistani 16-year-old from New York it's a really fun time
from
watching.
From Jersey.
Nice. Joyzy.
My people.
It's a fun time seeing her just kind of deal with that and like really, really strict, parents that are just like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Going outside and whatnot. And, I feel like it was a similar approach to, how, new Black Spider-Man, as you like to say, Miles Morales sort of dealt with his powers, and I like what they did. I think that Miles Morales had a bit more of an entertaining spin on it. I liked kind of his high school struggle a bit more in that way. I don't know how to sort of put it. The villain is the main problem, I guess. The villain they introduced right away in her arc
The inventor, yeah.
The inventor, he kind of is just a cockatiel guy that just doesn't do much.
Cockatoo, yeah.
And he just like shows up, kidnaps kids, and there's a whole message of like, millennials aren't useless. We can fight back too.
Like me and Matt said, like he's there and then he's gone.
Right.
And you like,
and it gets better. He's
already gone for you.
Well, right. Like in the second volume,
that's the second volume. He's gone.
The second volume. But like she immediately joins up with a very well known hero.
Well, and Wolverine shows up in the first one, so I mean, there's that.
No, there's one. Second one. It's the second one. You're reading the hardcover, which was the first two volumes. The first two.
Okay. I wasn't aware.
All right.
So yeah, okay, then you've gotten that to that point.
Yeah.
The inventor is just gone now.
Yeah,
and like there's like 7 or 8 volumes out. So
cool.
Because I've read
you
both.
Need a metric as to how long the inventor is around.
Because I've read the new Captain Marvel and Ms. Marvel as well. And I like both kind of equally. The only thing is that, really like, Kamala Khan, like, you have stretchy big hands.
It's a weird power.
It's not my favorite power. Yeah. Like, I'm not asking for her to have.
So many things they do with stretchy big hands.
There is, but it's like.
First is a bass solo.
I'm not asking for her to shoot, like psychic knives out of guns. Mm. Like, I don't need an edgelord power, but, like, it's just so goofy. And. It's the Mr. Fantastic problem of like, you're cooler than your power.
Right.
You know?
So as you mentioned that and you're talking about like funk music, I'm just like slap bass where your palm just covers the entire thing.
It's like Rasputin and World Heroes.
Yeah. While playing.
Fantastic slap solo.
That would be sick. You're right though. It is a weird power. And it's Mr. Fantastic-y, you know, in that way.
Well, he has the power to stretch. She has the power to, like change her body, however she wants.
Embiggens,
she can
right?
She can change her face. She can change her like everything. Yeah.
I feel like Captain Marvel is just like that's the one I'm going to come back to, and you know that's the one that's going to be a movie soon, I guess. So people will soon care. I believe,
both
you know.
Be, honestly,
but
Inhumans is a movie. So.
It is.
It's not.
No, no, it's a TV show, actually.
It's a TV show.
It's not a movie anymore. Yeah, they changed it. It's going to be a TV show. Although Ms. Marvel is still its own. Like, she's a little bit of both and neither kind of thing.
A little bit above that.
A bit random, and this is just going to – I'm going to make a controversial statement.
Controversial.
But rewatch The Shining this weekend. That's a good movie.
Yeah. Fuck you, Wooly.
Right, I know, right?
Controversial just statement.
How fucking dare you?
Flipping tables right now. It's just actually, no, it's just, it's something where it's like, it's been a few years and I just kind of like, just sat in awe, like, God damn, the cinematography is like unbelievable. Like,
paintings.
Yeah.
Over and over.
No, I wasn't sure, but I'm like, this is probably just rewatching and kind of looking at it again with fresh eyes after a while. I'm like, no, this is probably top five for me. Yeah. Like, I absolutely adore that movie.
It's so good. Everyone in it is so good too.
The performance is ridiculous.
Oh my God.
To the point, I have to look it up, but I heard that,
Here's Johnny Hurt sometimes when I walk into the.
Yeah. Well, the funny part about the.
Shut up.
The Here's Johnny line, like,
the
funny part about the Here's Johnny line is that, like, I didn't remember, but it's like right before he chops that door down and sticks his face in, he chops down the first door and he kind of just gives a very normal, almost deadpan, like, hey, honey, I'm home. And like, you know what I mean?
And it's
not overdoing it, right? Just a very matter of fact, like, hey, I'm here. What's going on, guys? You know, like, I'm coming to bash your brains in. What's the problem? It's fantastic. Like the way he delivers his lines with Lloyd Jack Nicholson, of course, you know, in his prime. But I was going to say, I heard that, I forgot, his co-star's name, that plays his wife.
Shelley Duvall.
Yeah. She, like, there were a lot of things where, like, they didn't tell her about certain scares or certain moments.
Man, that's mean.
So she was genuinely getting, like, the crap, like scared out of her because Kubrick was just like, no, we want this real.
Yeah.
You know?
You get pretty antsy at him.
And it kept her on edge. And, like, she was really shaky, like, the whole time. Exactly. Yeah. Right?
Ooh. Well, do you know what movie is it?
So it yeah, no, exactly. And, so it's Die Hard, right? My favorite of all time is Nakatomi Plaza at the top when, you know, what? Exactly. So that moment, like the way, the reason why his face is so genuine is because the guy.
He didn't know he was going to get shoved.
They were holding him by the arm and like, okay, we're going to let you go in 5, 4, 3, and lets him go.
Yeah.
And you know, and like, so he was preparing for it and then he was already falling.
Yeah.
So you get that look of face of like pure, I'm going to die fear.
He's like, this movie was worth it.
And that's
shit. Maybe it was worth it. That was probably a good shot.
That's the cut they used.
He looked awesome in that shot.
It was great, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Was he even acting?
Right.
Yeah.
And so poor Shelley Duvall is just getting, like, tossed around, you know, in this movie, like, with moments where, like, yeah, she genuinely was waiting for something and it came from another side or, you know, like, I was like, wow. And whatever you did, like, the end result was one of the best films. Like, one of my favorite films of all time, for sure. Again, controversial statement, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Edgelord.
Yeah.
And contrarian, just all.
Well, and I guess, like, just speaking of edgelords, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I was playing some Final Fantasy 15, which all the cool kids are playing now.
And
everything is cute in that game.
Yeah.
Everything
is really cute in that game.
And I'm still enjoying it, minus the time-wasting parts that could be fixed. But I just want to correct, like, something. Like, last week I was kind of saying that the main character is, like, a kind of an edgy, emo sort of kid was the impression I got. But after spending a bit more time and having a few a couple more, like, heart-to-heart dialogue cutscenes and moments with your party. I take that back. That's totally not his attitude at all.
He's an awkward shit.
He's a little bit awkward at times, but he's just hanging with his boys, and he wants to make them – he wants them to, like, laugh, and you know what I mean? Like, you choose your dialogue choices and stuff, but the attitude he gives off, despite his hair looking really emo, it's not.
And his clothes. And his,
judging book by a cover.
Totally. Guilty. But yeah. You know, but no, I take it back. I take it back. It totally. Yeah. I'm having fun with that.
I played it a bit too, and I'm like, I really like it. I'm very fond. I'm a bit over 20 hours in now, and I'm not like totally sold on the open world though. I think it's like, I think the your methods of getting around the world are inadequate for a long period,
mm-hmm.
and eventually you get the chocobo, which is a big improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But like the car, I get them not wanting the car to go off road, but like it controls so rigidly, and I just end up sitting so often or fast traveling and waiting through like almost minute long loading screens every time. And I find that, like, that's not awesome.
It's the loading gets really tiring after a while.
Well, and also it's like, I'm playing this back to back with Watch Dogs 2. And in Watch Dogs 2, I appreciate that I could just fucking fast travel to like pretty much any building. You couldn't go to quest locations, but you could go to restaurants, you could go to clothing stores, and you could go to, some other category, but like, all over the place.
Yeah.
Those places are all over the place. In Final Fantasy, it's really strict. You can warp to gas stations.
You can fast travel to parking spots you've been to.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it would be nicer if you could fast travel to a few more types of places, because there are situations where you have to drive for a fair while
And the fast travel is sometimes like, you know, the better end of a minute.
It's
like,
it's almost always faster. The game tells you how many minutes about it's going to take you to drive to somewhere.
Right.
And so you're looking at it and you're like, it's going to take 6 minutes. Well, I'm going to fast travel. And fast travel takes a minute.
Yeah.
But it's still way better, but you're still waiting for a minute.
You kind of, you have a disengaging moment, you know?
Yeah.
Get a cheap keyboard and put it next to you in the living room. And like, you know, on the loading screen, this is how I got through Bloodborne.
It was long loading screens, yes.
Every time I screwed up, which was every time I did anything.
Yeah.
So I was constantly dying. So I'm like, I got one of those little like blow accordion thingies. It's a melodica.
Yeah.
You know, the piano that has a straw that you blow into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just dicked around on that and played stupid little songs. Good thing Shino was not in the building at the time, because she would have cut my balls off.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
They don't sound great, but
no, they don't.
You know what you have that you could annoy me with? Think about it.
I don't know.
It's Japanese. It looks like a music note.
I don't have that anymore.
Oh, that fucking thing. Oh, that thing is awesome. Those are great.
After what you did with it, I'm like not surprised you don't have it anymore.
So if you judge me from my melodica playing, I'm just going to get an automaton.
Why'd you get rid of it?
And then you're screwed, man.
So believe it or not, I have, I gave it away.
Oh, okay.
I gave it away to my oldest niece and nephew, who are 12 and 13, to annoy my sister.
Oh, that's okay. That's a good cause.
Fair enough.
Get it.
Because my niece and my nephew are like old enough now that they're starting to text and like understand what trolling is now. So I was like, here you go. Enjoy this.
The next time they're going to punch you.
It's fine. I don't care. But they're actually both learning how to play actual instruments and stuff. Like one of them is playing like the saxophone and stuff. Cool. So it's like, oh, you can play two serious instruments, and here's your dick off instrument.
Yeah.
Because it's technically an instrument.
Yeah, totally.
Automaton is an instrument, but it's just kind of like a really weird one.
I've seen people shred on that thing.
It's a super.
Came over. She's a violinist, and she's just like,
and she shreds on an automaton. Yeah, it's disgusting. I know how to play the Addams Family on an automaton, like the theme.
That's something.
That's as far as I got, and I gave it away to my niece and my nephew, and I feel like they.
Accurate. No,
you did it for shit disturbing purposes, and like that's from the heart, you know, like no one can hate that.
So weird, I love
because,
it.
Because like I'm not even kidding. Like 5 minutes, I was like explaining to them how to use it, and they were like really concerned. They were like, "What the? You can look
it
on
looks
their
like
faces.
A thing. It looks like an
were,
animal."
Yeah, like on their faces, they were like, "What the fuck is this?" And then my niece would come up and she'd poke it, and it would go. Burr. And she was like, huh?
Yeah.
And then my nephew was like, kind of looked at it and was like watching me. And he just grabs it out of my hand. And he squeezes it and he just holds a note. So it's just, ah! My sister just glares at me immediately. And he was like, thanks, bye. And then ran to his room, turned it up as high as it can go, and just started hitting all the notes on it. And you could just hear it from across the room. Like, and my sister's like,
beautiful.
And I was like, eh? So no, I can't play you anymore unless I buy a new one.
You know they have mini ones too?
Those aren't as good.
No, they're really not, but I'm just saying.
No, I know, but I'm going to buy a new.
Because you can have one of those on your body at all times in case you need to bother someone.
So this is the great part is I'm getting a new automaton that's the same one that I had, and it has an out. It has an out.
Really? I didn't know that was a thing.
So I'm getting a mini amp that I can clip to my belt and run around MagFest. Why with this automaton, have? Just bap, because I can carry.
Look a Marshall stack behind you, like a real warrior. Armed with a generator and blow some ear cones, man.
So I want to get like a little amp.
Jam space is everywhere.
Yeah, I want to take the automaton to the jam space at MagFest and blow the shit out of it.
You'll be like an anti-Lucio, just
Let's make Magfest ban automatons.
This is like where we don't bring it down.
It's like the no durians on an Indonesian airport.
Or like no Colossus yell.
Yeah.
No automatons. I bet they do that if we bring like 20 of them.
If we annoy them enough.
Mm.
A nice concentrated effort.
I guess you can't play your songs on an automaton.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, like Jake and I have a mutual friend named DJ Boosh who like showed me this instrument, and so it's really funny because we'll sit on Discord and he'll make noises with it, and then I'll imitate it just because it's a fun, stupid thing. And so I got one, and we were just like doing this. So we decided that we were going to be an automaton band at Magfest, and that we're going to do dueling of the automatons, and so that's just what we're going to do. Like,
sick.
It's gonna be.
You walk through the hall.
I'm so glad that you guys aren't going.
I'm like, we're gonna be there.
I'm not going.
So. I didn't know you were going. I knew Liam was, but yeah. I didn't know you were. So
I am.
Great. All right. Well, then there you go.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm
yeah.
Not going until Mick Gordon shows up.
Okay.
Great.
Done.
Shut up, bro. Let's get it done.
Oh God, dude, I'm so happy. This is getting pushed for real. Real.
Better.
We'll do it.
I was thinking like it would be smart to just roll into the emails. What do you think?
Yeah, may as well.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, well, there's something I wanted to sort of just mention over the weekend is that, you know, because there's some details that someone, that if they hadn't been on the stream that they may have missed, but we were also, all joking aside, we were at Yo Video Games, Max's place.
We were at their place.
And we did a sick-ass stream that I think topped out around 9,000 people.
Gang Beasts, man.
That Gang Beast was the main course. Peppered with some Urban Rain on the PS2 and WrestleMania 2000 on the N64. And like, like we had, it'd been a long time.
We didn't actually play any WrestleMania.
Yeah, but you know what? We got what we needed to get out of it.
We set the computer to play as created character versions of us and our friends.
Oh, yeah.
And then just like shouted over
who's
that.
Who's going to win?
Yeah.
So that was quite hype.
You did JR.
Yeah. By God.
And along with that, every so often we were given a soda. Now, in Canada, we don't have as elaborate
soda
palette.
Troll foods as America does, like ranch dressing soda or dirt soda.
So what's that candy store in
Rocket Whiz is the
Rocket
one.
Rocket Whiz is that?
Rocket Fizz is the one we got brought to.
I have one 30 seconds walk from my house.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck my life.
We went in, we got dirt.
We tried dirt, which was described as eating a carpet.
It's dirt.
Drinking a carpet.
It actually tastes like dirt.
There was a dirty part.
Having eaten dirt a lot,
it wasn't
going up on a farm.
It wasn't pleasant.
It tasted like dirt.
It was not pleasant.
It was not great.
And then carrot cake, which was.
Which we were going, well, that will be better.
Yeah.
It wasn't by much.
There's potpourri in your mouth.
That's gross. Oh my God! Fuck off.
The cherry and cola Tic Tacs taste like you just ate a potpourri bomb.
Awesome. Potpourri is good.
Every day. Do you want a Tic Tac?
You want a Tic Tac?
Potpourri is a good way to describe it. I described it as I just drank an old lady's house.
Yeah.
Like nice. That's
like a hoarder.
I can taste it in my mouth. Like, yeah.
Potpourri is a good nose taste, not a good mouth taste.
Right.
No.
And then like shortly before, I think it was before Gang B started. And if anyone's interested, go to Max's Twitch channel and look at the VOD of it, because it's amazing when we played Gang Beasts, because we didn't know that you could play 7-player.
Up to eight.
We played 7.
We were 7.
On the unstable build. But
yeah.
Very unstable.
But still probably like one of the most fun times I've had, and I need it. But right before that, we were given a soda, which was called ranch dressing, and I took one sniff of it, and I kindly told all my friends in that room that you're all heroes because I will not drink this.
I felt
like I will throw up if I drink it due to the smell.
I had to nut up and take Matt's portion for him.
You actually didn't need to do that, but you did it anyway.
I appreciate
what was that taste?
It was rancid. It was
that was the one thing it was not, was ranch.
It was like you had like the fizz got by, and once the fizz goes down, you're just left with oil, like just oil in your mouth.
And to be clear, there was no oil; it was a soda.
Yeah,
but that was kind of the taste.
Liam, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you said this might be the worst thing I ever drank.
Yeah, it was probably the worst thing I ever drank.
That was intended to be consumed by humans. That was intended to be consumed.
Like, there were bits where, you know, I accidentally drank spoiled milk. And I was like, hey, why does this new cereal taste a bit funny? Oh, that's new cereal, I guess. So yeah, that's probably just the cereal taste. Oh, no, it's spoiled milk. But no, this is the worst thing I've ever actually purposefully tried to drink.
It's rough.
Well, it's just like, it's just like Jake.
I'm not getting through it.
Like, Lay's always has all these like weird variety and like flavors.
Yeah, yeah, they have the contest.
They have Canada flavors here now. That's the new big thing. They're, I guess the marketing, whatever, is listening to the internet.
Okay.
Everyone's like, yo,
ketchup?
Canada.
Poutine?
Ketchup? Yeah, yeah, they have
we don't get poutine yet.
Okay.
They do have them. I've seen them.
Where?
I've been told.
Right now.
I can ask, but I've been told that there's one guy, a chef from Quebec, that opened up a store. Opened up a restaurant in, I think, probably central L.A.
Oh, kill me.
And a friend I know has been there, has been like, yeah, it's legit poutine, but that's because it's from that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So they know how to make it.
What place is that?
So, like,
Brandon knows what it is, but I don't know what the name of it.
No, smokes, no.
So, like, I always, like, feed Jake these, like, different weird flavored Lays and just watch, like, how this.
I like them a lot,
I was like, eat this, like... Like, what was it, like, biscuits and gravy thing, and Jake's just, like,
yeah.
He grabs, like, a whole handful and just crams it all into his mouth, and he's just, like, he's, like, why am I doing this?
Well,
like,
whenever my girlfriend's family has a cottage in New York State, and we go there every now and again, and whenever we go, I always, like, check the chips to see if, you know, Lay's has had their, like, new contests and shit. And I buy all the new varieties so we can try them, right?
Yeah.
And the one that always stuck out to me that I'm, like, I'm kind of sad doesn't exist anymore was the cinnamon bun chips. I don't know if you're
okay. No,
they're great.
Are they meant to be like...
There's no salt on them.
Okay, they're sweet
there's
only.
There's no salt.
Yeah, they're just sweet.
They're potato
sweet
and sweet. Okay.
Cinnamon.
Okay.
So, very, like, and it's so unique.
So it's really just, it's just
like
the texture then, that like you're getting cinnamon bun plus a texture of a chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But the chips, the potato really is naturally good. Slightly salty, like a Bugles maybe?
No, really.
It's just sweet?
A dessert chip.
Bugles are like reconstituted shit, so...
Yeah, but I mean just like the... The slight salty flavor mixed with the overwhelming
potatoes aren't salty.
They aren't salty.
I promise you. Go take a bite of a potato.
Right, it's watery.
Yeah,
there's no flavor.
It's not salty.
Hmm.
But anyway, these cinnamon bun ones were fucking winners, and I couldn't.
I believe it.
Can't get any more of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a big loss for society.
How many tabs are open on your phone, Willie?
Oh my God! You want to go?
You want to
go right now, Sheena?
Listen.
No, all right.
I'm not gonna listen to this bullshit.
I have tabs and I have a session saver, so I can close them when I need to.
How many
resume
tabs,
the session
how many tabs
on the phone because I have my browser at home where I got my bases covered. I have
phone?
Information that I need to
tell
consume
me about your poor phone
on my
how
phone.
Struggling right now.
I currently have 12 tabs open
Holy
in Chrome.
Shit.
Okay.
And Safari has 6.
Okay, and how about on the private side of how many tabs
yeah,
you got open on
the
there?
I did 8 plus it's 8 plus 3, Liam. So there we go. It's fine.
Good enough for DOS, good enough for me.
Nah, man. All I'm saying is this. If there's a performance issue, I got a session saver, I can close it down, lose nothing, resume it when I need to.
Yeah, but how often do you have that problem? I bet you all the fucking time. Don't you think?
But ever since I bought a better computer, it's been fine. There are three times a year.
Often suspected performance problems in games are due to your
And
browser.
No, and I test that shit. 3 times a year, Sheena, I'm telling you, 3 times a year, I will make it all the way through. And it feels great. It's a very satisfying feeling.
You and I both know you don't.
It's cathartic.
I'm on your
side. You don't got that.
Thank you.
I will show you my desktop in a bit, and you're just gonna hug me. You're gonna be too. I don't even have a saved session. I just open so many tabs and I switch between them.
I can't even look at his computer because I'm gonna punch him in the head.
Personally, I prefer living without the weight of the world on my chest.
That's fine. My actual icons on my desktop are just like my recycling bin and like Unity and Overwatch or whatever, Titanfall. But I keep it really simple, 4 or 5 tops. But my tabs are just, what's wrong with information? What's wrong with...
How many tabs do you have, Matt?
Well, see, there's a certain amount of nobility in lying to yourself so hard that you believe yourself.
Like, I just want to know that, like, before you answer this question, it's going to determine whether we're going to stay friends after this podcast or not. So, like, how many times do you
I don't usually have more than 2 because I manage my information well.
See? Okay, see?
Sometimes I get a video, and that video is 12 minutes, and it's like, it's tips on how to use this character in this game, and I'm like, I don't have time right now, but I want to get back to it.
Mistake. like, dude, you're so ideally you're supposed to watch videos when you're like eating food or something, so that you can.
But
you
then,
know.
But then it's people
like,
are on.
I wake my happy ass in the morning. I fucking roll physically out of bed. I grab a bowl of cereal and I eat and I watch YouTube.
But then, like, but then people are on me. Like, this guy's on me to watch Lucha Underground when I'm eating food, and this guy's on me to watch Danganronpa when I'm eating food, and everyone's on me to watch a different thing. So I'm like, I'm doing those things.
So and you then my monitors and watch all three.
Well, that's the way I got. No, I'm probably minimizing into the corner and just letting the sounds wash over me. But
that's no excuse to have like a 800 tabs.
It's
plus all your bookmarks.
We need an intervention.
Tabs.
We need an intervention.
Yeah, as long
join me in Tab Comfort Land. Accept your tab. Accept your tab image and have a positive self.
Thank you.
Self appraisal of.
I appreciate it.
Nobody cares about what the composer has to say.
I'm a crazy person, and I'm inviting you into chaos with me.
A natural limit. There's a natural limit, and that is when you can no longer see the icon of the tab at the top.
Exactly. I can't.
Right.
When I look
at your
browser,
you're like, okay.
I can't
see it.
Or if you're
like five for the same site and you can't tell which is which. You're
yeah.
Like, you know, some of these have got to go.
Yeah, there's multiple little YouTube play buttons here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But,
which
but,
one's making sound? Shit.
Well, they now have the little icon that tells you. Thank God. Up. Finally, right? Yeah.
Finally. Heavens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally. Yeah. Yeah.
For hoarders like you.
Oh, I'm, it's so good.
Sheena, I swear to God, Sheena. I swear to God, Sheena.
Hoarders of digital
hoarders.
Digital hoarder. You are disgraced.
Like, worldly, and we have to be in different places at once, you know?
The feeling.
Learn how to manage your time better, my friend.
That is my problem. You're right.
Yeah.
The core of it to get down to it. But like I was gonna say, like if you want to ruin my day or my week or possibly my
just
month,
close
my tabs and then don't recover.
Then open a new one
and say
recover.
No recovery.
Well, it's like when your mom. It's like when your mom cleans up your room and you're like, but everything was with.
Yeah. Because you see, there like when my friend would come over and
it's
and like
here, people will clean up around me and I'm just like, where. Where's my headphones? They were on top of the cabinet last. Why the hell were they up there? I don't know, but they were.
If someone comes over and is like, hey, I just need to check when the bus is coming, and they'll like open up the browser and be like, no, wait, stop, and be like, dude, oh, what's your creepy porn? And I'm like, no, my tabs. You're gonna
that's
ruin
how you
them.
Know you have a problem. I can't ever come back to Montreal. I'm just gonna go to your house when you're not there. I'm gonna break in
and just shut my tabs down.
Because you know they're running.
And also delete all your
bookmarks.
No. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with deleting a man's bookmarks.
No, Matt, he's sick.
God.
Matt, he has a problem.
Yeah, maybe a clean sweep.
You have to excise the dead tissue.
Yeah.
God, just
cut it away.
End my life, why don't you?
Right now,
my entire history in my life, I have never had bookmarks. I have two right now that I can recall. One is Andrew's demo stuff.
Yes.
One is the worst thing about train horns, which is a clickbait, like, generated article about the hazards of, like, having train horns too close to your, like, the NIMBY effect. You know,
okay.
You don't have the train horns near you.
Sure.
But it's done in, I believe it's, I don't want to guess at the ethnicity of the people who are writing the articles. Like,
it's
somebody
for
whom English is a very remote second language.
Okay.
And
they're
it's
grasping.
Very, it's incoherent.
Very, yeah.
It's
wait, what is this called?
It's not machine translated. It's worst thing about train horns.
Yeah, worst thing
okay.
about train horns.
Okay.
Notes. Yeah, why don't you open
a. How about you open a new tab?
Yeah, Wooly.
Motherfucker. Open a tab. Damn straight. And you know what? Liam, you're not going to have time to read that right now on the podcast, but you'll read it a little bit later.
I'm reading it right now. I can't find it.
Actually. We have this beef. I know how to find it. We're
it's
not friends
in my
anymore.
We're
not friends anymore.
What you don't
yeah,
know.
The worst thing about train horns? There should be a picture of like a train like going through.
No.
It's.
We'll look it up later.
What goes unspoken is the amount of tabs that I open up and close like very shortly after going like, you know what, actually I don't care. Or like upon second thought, I have a tab and I'm like, you know what? No, I really don't care about this. The time has passed.
I don't believe that.
It like, happens.
Are you lying to me or are you lying to
I
you?
I swear to God.
Who are you lying to?
And again, the session saver saves it. But I'll tell you what, look, if you have suggestions
on how to get rid of all these tabs,
you can send them in to SuperBest.
How do you remotely destroy tabs?
Right? From superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Wait, we can make a ding.
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. Oh my god, that's a good idea.
We can make that triggers a macro on our computer.
And deletes all
okay.
your, it closes your browser.
Deletes the oldest tab on my Chrome.
That could be arranged.
Okay.
And then just a piece of woolly dies every
forcing
time.
Not all of them, but just the one by one. The oldest tab.
It gets rid of all of his Horcruxes.
It's like, no, I was uploading. Fuck.
Yeah, that was a video you wanted.
There's a lockout timer on the thing. So yeah. Even after it's done, you know, it's still locked for a little while because we don't want to be eating cupcakes every 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. I know, what the fuck?
You know, this cupcake light goes on and we have to have a cupcake eating contest.
I will agree.
Like once an hour, you know?
I will agree to it jovially right now and then just start using Firefox. Like,
it's time for opera.
Like a goddamn addict.
Time for opera. Let's go fucking use it.
Disheveled addict. Okay. We got a question coming in from Colton. And Colton says, they're super best fuck cast. Love listening to your podcast weekly. Thank you. Been doing so from the start. What is the shittiest shitlord cheater-esque exploiting you've ever done in a video game, whether single or multiplayer? My example was achievement hunting in the days of RE5, where you win a ton of multiplayer matches. There's a roof where you can get to. It's only accessible by a ladder. So it's easy to stand up there, and your friend has to use a rocket launcher anytime people try to reach you. It was my lowest, shittiest form. And I loved it. Thanks for all the laughs.
That's filth.
Right.
That's,
what's the dirtiest, grimiest thing you've ever done in a single or multiplayer game?
I think one time we were doing a fisticuffs on the channel,
mm-hmm.
and we were playing an arcade game that was four players, mm-hmm. and like whenever I was about to game over, I'd press the insert coin button.
Russell Fest.
I was doing that arcade for a while game. And nobody caught on. And then eventually everyone caught on and started doing it.
That was pretty giving yourself life.
I know mine is when.
Yeah, because it just refilled your life was what it was. That's true, yeah.
It was another wrestling game, and that was when we were playing Def Jam Vendetta, the first one. And then I was like, I was going to take him. Nah, I'm going to take D-Mob at the last second, the boss. Remember, it was the three girls versus D-Mob?
Mm.
And it was like, it took you guys 25 minutes to beat me. You were always going to beat me, but like just the way it worked. And I did not mean to take him. I meant to take him for a joke and then back out, but all of you went, no.
No, you're taking this is your
error, so... That's what that was.
There was definitely at least once when my cousin was being a shit and we were playing Street Fighter 2 back in the day and I slowly crept up my handicap on the player 2 screen. No, just like specifically to be a shit at him when he didn't like know what it was and then and get him all frustrated and then afterwards like totally until he obviously caught on, you know, at some point, but just to fucking twist him for get back at him. I totally did that. At least
that's
once.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I feel like the only time I did something is because I have like an older brother and we used to play Twisted Metal 4 on PlayStation like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's older than me, he was better than me, and it just pissed me off one day because he was like punching me in the head as he kept winning. He's like, come on, you gotta get better, get good. And I like ended up pulling out his controller at the last second when he was about to shoot me.
Ooh.
And I shot him and killed him. And that was the only time
you won that day.
And that was the only time I got beat up. Lesson learned.
Don't let anyone tell you different.
Never cheat ever again. I got beat up. I got one
that suits my personality perfectly. I played an entire 200 plus hour game of Oblivion in God mode. With all stats maxed. Because I wanted all the hiking, but none of the challenge.
Okay. Sure.
No. I was basically in story mode, but come on. It's fucking Oblivion.
Yeah, fuck it.
Kidding me?
Fuck it. No, totally agreed.
Like, I could have destroyed the game and been massively overpowered, and effectively that's God mode. You one-shot everything in the game after, like, 20 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I can go for Umbra right away and be just wrecking everything. Anyway, I played it all in God mode, and I gave myself, like, acrobatics maxed, so I
you could jump
fly
crazy.
Everywhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I utterly broke the game and just played through it. But, yeah, that's my crime.
That's fine, man. There was that time where Matt, you, myself, Pat, and a friend who goes unnamed were playing Mark of the Wolves, and the unnamed friend
don't remember what this was about.
Was about to get he was losing pretty badly, and it was almost like a perfect situation, like a double perfect situation, and he was about to get supered to finish it off, and like as soon as the super started, and and he was clearly about to get hit, he was open. He just got up and pressed the reset button, just like nope.
Didn't happen.
Nope. Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing went. That you didn't win.
There's a certain nobility.
It was a clean. You didn't win.
No, I got the real one. That's a shit move. I finally figured out. Sorry.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Um, Yo, I knowingly gave my sister a broken NES controller playing track and field.
Oh, that's filthy.
She's like, why am I not moving? I'm like, you're not hitting the button fast enough.
Oh, that's so dirty.
All right, I'm redeemed.
Oh my God. No, that's the king. That's the king.
It's like a kind of a scrubby kind of like you're kind of just weird.
Yeah, that's, no, that's king. Because like, I'm like, yeah, that Street Fighter handicap shit, like if I was taking it seriously, that'd be pretty dirty, but it was to get him for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
It was for the joke, but that,
Sorry, I hope that interruption was worth it.
No.
It totally was.
That's the, you won.
Brothers are dicks, man. Yeah.
Dude, you won.
The line, you have to be a pro like me, is worth that. That's good. That's good stuff. We should say that more often.
Now I'm just playing Elite Dangerous all the time. I don't want to even do anything competitive anymore. I just want to mine asteroids all day long. It's so nice.
Nick Rabb is pretty happy that we're hyped for Mads Mikkelsen showing up in Death Stranding. And he just straight up, it's just a recommendation. He's saying, like, if you're a big fan of him, check out, a foreign suspense thriller he did called The Hunt. Matt, especially, you probably liked it.
I've gone by that in Netflix.
That dude's face is so interesting.
There's a really good Western movie he was in called The Salvation, where he's like from Denmark and he travels to the Old West and like sets up a life there.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his wife and his child come from Denmark, and then just revenge happens, needs to happen. Very, very good.
And we'll take one last one from the Michael, and he straight up says
– The Michael.
Recently visited an old cabinet of Marvel superheroes gathering dust in my mall. It works, but all the buttons are broken, and it really only serves the purpose of looping the intro movie. It's kind of like the one at our place.
The one nearby,
I was reminiscing when I was a young boy about five. I was reminiscing when a young boy of about 5 years old walked up to me and starts explaining to me what the game was and how he's never played it. So I started talking to him about my memories playing it when I was a kid. It was this moment that I experienced like a big surreal event where I had become the big kid explaining to the little kid about the arcade game. Have you ever had one of these moments at an arcade or anything similar?
Yeah. Sorry, say the last part. It's if I've experienced being a big kid.
A moment where like you kind of had this when you were younger, and then I guess like you fill in the role that someone else did to you earlier on or something like that.
I just want to talk about a time.
It's barely related, but go.
It's close, but it's barely related. The time where Mortal Kombat 3 had just come out, and it was at a big indoor mall in the Maritimes in Canada, and I wanted to play, and there's just big kids playing, and they were very big, and I couldn't get to play. And they wouldn't let me play.
And
so I complained to the arcade manager that the big guys wouldn't let me play. And then I didn't think I. I would have deserved it. And here's the thing is I kind of didn't think they would work. They would like go like whatever. Yeah. No, but then they did let me, but not in like a cool, like brotherly, haha. Yeah. Sorry, kid way. More like we're going to glare at you the entire time way.
But you totally beast the thuggery.
I took Sub-Zero and I didn't know how to do any moves and they just killed me. And then I walked away and I received no satisfaction.
Oh,
so
man.
That's not really an answer to the question, but. But then again, the question is kind of complicated.
Kind of ropes in with this one because it was only actually a couple of months ago. I was like visiting a friend in like Virginia, and we were like, "Oh, let's go to the Dave and Buster's and play like DDR." Like, yeah, let's do this. And these two little girls, I guess they were like there for a party or something. And you know, it's just like I've noticed that when you play DDR, like there's like super elitist, like try hard DDR kids, right? And I was like.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, because just, like, Japanese, like, rhythm games are just, like, this serious fucking thing. Yeah. Like, and so, like...
That's life or death. That's, like, initial D.
Yeah, it super is. And so I was, like, playing, like, DDR with just these group of fucking people, and these two little girls come up, and they, like, were with their moms, and their moms are just kind of, like, arms crossed, just, like, waiting for the kids to stop playing or whatever. And, like, we got done with our rounds or whatever, because it's, like, it's like a winner to, you know, best 2 out of 3 or whatever. So then I kind of like was watching these little girls like super excited and they really wanted to try it or whatever. So then I ended up like looking at the moms and I said, they'll take my turn next thing or whatever. And the thing is now with DDR machines, you need like a card. So I let these little kids, I was like, I was like, hey guys, like, just be cool, be cool. Like, let these little kids play or whatever. And like, a couple of the guys, like, were like, oh, why should we? We're like in the middle of the game. I was like, dude, just be fucking cool. Like, just chill. These little kids are going to play like one skip board and they're going to be out of here. So then we got done and then these, I put my card in on both slots and I like kind of waved over these little girls and I was like, come play, come play. And they were like, really? And then I kind of like looked at the mom because I was like, I was like, I'm not trying to be creepy. Like, I know your kids want to fucking
just
play this
being
game.
Generous.
I was like, no. And then like the mom just kind of looked at me. I was like, listen, I'm not trying to be, I have nieces and nephews. Like, I know how this goes. And they're like, thank you so much. And the little girls, they like, you know, of course they're not good or anything, but they had a blast.
There you go.
They both like shook their heads and they were like, thank you. And I was like, yeah. And then like half the people already were all pissed off and walked away. And I was like, whatever, dude. Like,
now those two, and now they're DDR champions.
Yeah. And now those little kids are going to remember that time that big kid like let them play on their card. Like, and of course it trashed some of my my score.
Right. Your rep on it.
Whatever, dude. Nice. I don't care. Yeah. So that was my first and only experience with like trying to be like the big kid now, letting these like little kids take a turn in our kid.
The closest thing to an answer for that question I can think of is going to my my aunt's house at Christmas, and my like 7 and 8 year old nephews are playing Halo 2, and I was like, oh, and I see them kind of getting in on it and whatnot, and I don't think it's too long after it came out. And I was like talking to them about like, you know, playing GoldenEye back in the day and like the fun local multiplayer experience and stuff and how, you know, like we had fun with License to Kill mode and all that stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, cool. You know, this game's pretty fun too. And I was like, yeah, I played some Halo. Let's play together and whatnot. And they bodied the shit out of me. I got worked so hard by these little kids on Halo, like unbelievably so. And, I was not the big kid there. It was rough.
You were the brave kid.
I was the brave kid that, no, oh.
Oh no. Oh no. I think you're like 2 minutes in the match and you're like, oh no.
What,
oh, no.
What happened?
What happened?
Oh God.
All right, I got a good story, but I'm going to tell it to you in the form of a song.
Should we clap?
It's Christmas, visited my friend's home, 7 and 10 into Minecraft, taught him how to mod the shit out of Minecraft, 7 and 10 telling me feed the beast crashed. I'm a Minecraft nut.
Because we don't know anything
and
about Minecraft, so.
Minecraft.
Holy
shit. And I was like, we were best friends about Minecraft. Yeah. I was like best friends with these kids because I knew Minecraft. I taught them how to install Feed the Beast. I taught them how to install like all the mod packs and get it all souped up and customized.
Okay.
With, like, all the like machines and
tricked
airships.
Out. Yeah.
All tricked out with like 150 different types of dirt block. Like they're really crazy. The extra Lego Technic pack of Minecraft.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just a song that made that dude.
I know, but it's a like I had such a great moment, and then they started talking about Five Nights at Freddy's. And they had artwork on their walls of fan art.
That does sound like kids.
And I was like,
damn those kids.
Yeah. So I felt like the cool older like uncle
bears.
Figure.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
It's kids about Minecraft. Like,
yeah.
I knew more than a kid about Minecraft.
Yeah.
Like,
so like,
weird.
Here's how you customize it and get all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Here's
like
how you put in the nude code for Tomb Raider, kid.
Yeah. Here's how you get
like,
nude Raider.
I indoctrinated those kids into a cult at that point. Like, straight up.
Hey, like, this is how
you
mod.
Minecraft, right?
What's up?
You like Minecraft?
I am obsessed with Minecraft.
So like, do you make like big, like, tracks for minecarts?
I make nuclear reactors and municipal power grids. I'm not even exaggerating. We're working on a gigantic platform for a giant city to sit
on. But do you make, like, roller coasters?
I mean, train systems. And
does that get you going?
If I'm holding a pork chop in my hand, I can finish.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool.
And you need to hear a bit of music that has an awkward loop, right?
Just played the actual Minecraft music.
Like, okay. Sir, why are you carrying a pickaxe onto this ride at Six Flags?
And then you're like, I love Minecraft.
Did you know your song doesn't loop?
Runs off.
So I told him about my packs. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Now you know why I have a funk orchestra assembled to sing the songs that I write for me. So I don't
I know why the audience can like zap you with lasers and, yes. and control the lights and fuck shit up.
It's not just to cheer me on; it's to give me the what for. I know I deserve it.
All right, let's wrap this up, man.
F you, Jake. Nipple clamps.
I want to say there's a Ray, of course. We're in California. We're leaving in a couple hours. I want to thank the incredible turnout that we had for a fan meetup.
Yeah, that was great. Round one, we got kicked out of round one arcade. We went to
because it was a security risk because there was like too many people and 20 or so people.
Yo, someone counted 160.
I just estimated about how many were in there when at we that first moment. Got there.
Yeah, someone counted 160 at one point.
Oh, you're right.
It was probably well over.
It's really cool. Yeah. We basically got kicked out of round one.
We got kicked out of the parking.
We wandered around the side. Yeah, this first security guard was like, "Yeah, just go somewhere else. Go outside." We went to the loading dock where there's the trash bin dumpster right next to us. We started
signing stuff next to a huge dumpster.
Yeah, little dumpster party. It was great. Yeah. We got kicked out of the dumpster party, and we had to just go stand in the closed like parking lot of a liposuction clinic.
You're the shade of a lipo.
It was great.
It was.
It was actually totally.
You could have started breaking cars and shit.
At that point,
there was no cars.
And security was rolling up on us like, "What are you kids doing?" And we're just like, "No, just standing around."
That's okay. We're YouTubers.
These are our fans. Yeah.
Pokemon Go.
What are you guys? Are you criminals? No, we're YouTubers. And the cop proceeded to fire upon us immediately.
We're from YouTube. Bang, bang, bang.
Stars, instant water level.
Yeah.
There's a tank that just rolls.
But shout outs to those people. Absolutely.
That stayed like out in the cold with us for like, we were there from like
4.5.
For 4.5 hours.
People drove out like
4 hours.
Yeah, man.
4 hours. So.
People were here to see you. Like, how does that make you feel? Well, did you shit your pants?
Every time.
It's terrifying.
It's humbling and super scary and confusing and all kinds of things. But in the moment that they're there, it's just arousing. Really. Yes, exactly. In the moment that they're arousing, it's really just joyful. You're really happy and grateful. Happy.
Yeah.
And if I got 5 people show up, I'm like, I can't even walk straight. I'm just like paralyzed.
Yeah, again, it's just like while they're there, it's great, and like immediately before and after, it's just terrifying.
Oh shit, in real life.
Maguma, thanks for coming out and helping us out, man.
Yeah, thanks to Bradley too. We're gonna see if we can put a video or at least
something
photos
up there.
Event.
It was a good time. So many people like just did us right this time around.
Definitely.
And we're gonna be back in town, and like, I guess the current stuff we're working on will continue. So stick around with that. You guys
almost completed this podcast. Still have a bit more, but you guys.
I'm sorry. No, sorry. It's just like this is our wrap up. Our awkward wrap up.
It's just that you suddenly stood up, and I don't know what's happening.
I'm standing up because my legs are getting numb, and I need to actually get the blood back in.
I'm just regretting that I didn't follow you guys sooner and listen to your stuff because you're really positive in tone, and like I'm glad to be part of this because you guys are running a cool thing.
Oh, thanks, man.
Thanks so much.
This is back
at you.
It's nice to get ahead of it so that when you see it and are horribly disappointed by what you hear, at least there's this moment,
This is the best possible way I could have spent a Sunday. I was going to work on a thing, and I can work on the thing later because this is lunchtime for me.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
But I'm really glad that I spent the time doing this instead because it's inspiring me a lot to, get
cool,
the thing
cool.
done and do it well. I'm going to write a bunch of cartoon music right now.
Yeah.
And it's got to be funky, and I just got to, ride the positive vibes.
Yeah.
But.
And where can people.
I'm finding is having people around, they're creative and driven and just full of life and stuff. Mentos fresh and full of life. it really, for real, it gets my gears going. It gets me thinking about doing stuff. I just want to do things. Mm-hmm. I want to make things and create. And that's an impulse that it's hard to have when you're under a lot of pressure.
Right.
It's hard to keep that motivation up. So having a team around, a crew, you guys know, you have the whole office crew.
Yeah.
We have a small team built up here, and they're just pretty much encouraging and positive all the time. And, I feel like life is transforming a bit for the better. So I want you guys to come out here and see this in a year and see where we're at.
that'd be awesome.
Or hell, before that, but, at least in a year, come back out. Maybe we'll have, diamond-encrusted...
For chandeliers.
Bathroom toilet scrubbers,
The scrubbers,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no. Maybe we'll be still in business. And that would be really cool.
It'll be a palace. It'll be decked out with shiny marble floors, but there will still be buzzers, lasers, and lights controlled by the internet to keep you in place.
The door only opens when someone clicks on it. Everyone, nobody can leave. Nobody can come in.
Send Jake home, bud.
But like the toilet only flushes.
If my crew and I never reach any higher heights and or never, you know, achieve any glamour beyond what we've already got, which is a small, tight-knit, really dope audience, like, I'm happy doing this for the rest of my life. I really love working on music with an audience. It's just addictive.
Sick.
Once you do it enough, you're just like, I can't work without it. Mm-hmm. I can't jizz without my people around. You gotta watch me.
And yeah, I just wanted to like shamelessly again just thank, you know, Vert, like, dude, like I told you when I walked in here, man, like your stuff, you guys are doing it, one of my favorite composers of all time, and like
that's great.
You know, we like the two Patreons that I had on my thing were pretty much We Shall Awake and Vert, and We Shall Awake stopped their Patreon, so now it's pretty much just you.
Okay, but
so like I'm really like I just want you to keep doing it, man. It's fucking surreal. I love it.
Let me tell you how much I appreciate that. That Patreon is, like, the worst-served Patreon in history. I haven't done anything I promised to do on that. I haven't fulfilled any of my things for the entire time it's been up. And crazy people like you have been still supporting me, even without getting the physical merchandise and all the promised stuff, just because you believe in what I'm doing.
Well, because you're still producing content either way.
It's literally content. If I can click a play button... Yeah. And hear things.
I didn't mean to call you crazy.
No.
That's like, all I want.
Like, music is... From a consumer side, a results-based media, and the results speak for themselves because they're resounding.
Well, it's all I want.
I was using the Patreon to pay studio rent here before we took the place over, and I was able to get help from Shovel Knight. I didn't spend any new rent money on the studio at all. That's going towards the artists. But all the Shovel Knight stuff that I made, like it was like the same thing. I put the Patreon into my work, into my studio, and invested it where I could. And as soon as I get more stuff coming in from other sources, I'm just using this stuff to drive... Like the possibility of making more music, like having a studio to work in, having a team to work with me and stuff, just trying to make it smoother so I'm less stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go through so many patches where I'm like dead for 4 months because I just left it all on the dance floor or whatever. I gotta freaking work a normal schedule sometimes. Get stuff done steadily so it's not stressful. But your contributions and everybody else's, they help us do that because we stress out less about money and we don't have to take as many jobs and get overloaded. So
yeah,
it's a really huge help and I really appreciate the support, like, from, you know, you and everyone else who's been standing by me as I've been trying to get my insane hectic life together, you know.
Well, it's our pleasure.
I got a lot more music to write, and if we can keep me sane and healthy, I'll do it.
Well, it's all a long con until the MAGFest, Mick Gordon, reach around, and blast.
Yeah, exactly.
After that goes down,
car trash.
Once that happens, get the fuck out of my life. I'm done. I'm done with you.
We need to destroy a car on stage somehow.
And Sheena, you're mentioning that Spookies is going through some changes. If anyone would want to help project out, what can they do?
Well, currently we're fighting the rhymes on Steam Greenlight.
The popularity contest.
Like, yeah, the basically, you know, you're in fucking high school, middle school, and you gotta do this fucking popularity contest. That's Steam Greenlight, and we're fighting that right now. So if you just go to Steam Greenlight and then just type in Spookies, it's probably the first thing that's gonna come up.
It usually is.
But I'm trying to remake it in the Unity engine, just trying to get like vibe support and all this other stuff. Characters are going to be remade into like 3D models. We already have like a couple.
Yeah, and they look great. Like all the screenshots I've seen so far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like custom lighting engines and all this other crazy. Like we're going all out. Like it's going to have actual like translations as well for like Spanish, Russian, Polish, and some other like German. Yeah, and so we're doing that. There's going to be, Steam trading cards and achievements, because that's the thing that everybody's been screaming about. Mm. Like, finally getting that done because we're charging. We're charging $10 for this one. But it has all those cool features, plus more. And we're also, it's DLCs bundled. Secret thing I can't really talk about in full detail. Spookies is actually getting merch.
Ooh.
Yeah. Spookies is getting merch. Hopefully it talks of maybe a couple shirts and a plush. We'll
okay.
See how that goes. But
Sheena, developer, what if I want to play the original Spookies because I prefer that one for some reason?
Oh my god, if for some reason you want to play the original Spookies just like the best friends did, whoa! You can go on to Steam currently and just look up Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion, and it'll be right there in your face.
How much does it cost?
Free.
It's free.
Free fitting?
Free 99.
No, it's, yeah, it's free and 0 cents.
So you can pay for the new one if you want.
It's $3.00.
You can get the new one if you want. It's for money, but if you can always play the original.
And that it'll stay forever.
Yo.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what I understand is the new one is it's another way that we can have Liam make in his pants.
Yeah.
Seven minutes in or so.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get that timer down.
I can't deal.
Let's cut that timer in half. Let's get it down to like maybe
can,
three and a half.
I think I can get it just upon the first jump scare.
A noble cause.
Fuck, man.
Like just the cardboard jump scare. Mm-hmm.
This especially machine with the,
yeah. Yeah, especially with the VR and seeing this thing like legitimately slide out. Yeah.
That's the shitty thing now. Is if I know a game supports VR, I want to play it in VR. I'm like, I'm playing the Resi 7 demo with all the updates. And I'm like, this is too fucking scary. I can't deal.
Yep.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, Spooky's is going to have this new version of Spooky's is going to have a lot of crazy like updated twists and turns stuff because the original game was done in Game Maker 8.
Yeah.
So like couldn't really we were limited because we were doing like raycasting, you know, Doom shit, so like, you know, you can't actually walk upstairs and do all this other stuff. So there's going to be like crazy different things like that. I don't want to give too much away, but like who knows, maybe some monsters are going to drop on your face.
There you go. So yeah,
on your visor.
Just hypothetically.
Oh, hypothetically, a monster might jump on your face, or if you hypothetically use an axe and smash a tank that has a brain monster in it, it might actually break and come get you.
Okay,
maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. We're not promising.
Greenlight game, Liam shits his pants.
Yeah. That's hypothetically.
That's a promise.
Hypothetically.
That's a promise.
There would be hypothetical shit in my hypothetical pants.
It's a little bit of the game in progress, and I can guarantee everyone playing this game is going to scream like an infant.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. It's a really good
game. I usually fall asleep to that sound. It's beautiful.
You know?
Screaming infants. It's one of my favorites. Mm.
Well, now you can create the sound yourself. Yeah. A little impressive.
Wake up in the middle of the night. Honey, put another infant in the grinder.
No, put on the infant screaming CD.
Not the record on your gramophone.
There you go.
Play Spooky's for me, baby.
Thanks so much for having us over, guys.
Oh, yeah, no, this has been really awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us on the podcast.
It's right on.
I got to yell at you, Willie, which is
you did.
Like,
I'll take it. And you know, but you know what? You got to the core issue, which is absolutely time management, and you're 1,000% right. Like, I won't even fight that.
Is this going on the internet?
This is going out there. I will not fight that. Like, that's the core issue.
This is not my alarm when I wake up in the morning, is that you are right by William.
You cut past the bullshit.
What got me about you guys is that, first of all, you fully disclosed that you know, you weren't paid to play this game. You're just getting, you know, getting exposure and just collaborating with a company, right?
Yeah.
But the thing that really struck me about you guys and why I'm like kind of on board with like your operation here.
Because we met briefly before, but today is the first real friend moment.
We were eating pizza in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I was asking you about the game. Was it actually fun? Did you have to go to play this game? Was it a chore? Yeah. And you were all like pretty complimentary about it. You were like, yeah, it's really fun. It's like a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. Like, I usually hear people just shit-talking stuff when they got to do it for work, but you guys really take passion in it.
Oh, wait, you mean like when we're out in the kitchen before we record this podcast, we said, yeah, the game's pretty good, and then we came into this podcast
and said, yeah,
and said
it's yeah, still yeah, yeah, yeah,
because
right.
Our opinion,
you're not putting it on a front at all. Yeah. It's like, no. You guys are pretty
good. Unless we told you to say that right now.
Yeah. Shit. That's a little biased, though, with Spooky's, though.
It's funny. A little bit. He's close. He's close. He's right. It's true. He is close.
You have to be honest. You're a little biased, man.
A little biased.
Yeah.
The best way to have it is to play games that your friends make. That's what the future we live in. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
The guy, Filthy Rich, the guy that set it up, he was pretty much saying when we were walking back to the car, he's like, we knew bringing you guys in as well, like that if you didn't like it, like we're done.
We have a problem.
It's like we would just be honest. We would just straight up be like, you know, if that were the case, but it's not, you know? So, yeah, I like to think we're pretty straight up about that type of stuff. But,
yeah, I like the mutual admiration thing. Like, I contextualize this. I explain it a lot of the time. It's like, I'm one of Shovel Knight's millions of fans, even though I worked on it.
Right,
and then
yes.
The creators of Shovel Knight are some of my, I don't know, dozens of fans, you know? Mutually,
yeah.
It's that kind of, like, you want each person wants the other to do well. And, you know, that's just that kind of spirit is powering everything we're doing lately, you know.
Awesome,
both
man.
Of us, you guys too, it seems like, you know.
Yeah.
That's a podcast, man. That's a podcast. Oh, I'd say so.
A Riza.
Yeah.
Drop the mic stand.
Yeah, and with that, like,
don't actually drop it.
No, play the music. Let's do it. Yeah,
man.
Make sure that there's an awkward loop.
Look into the sins of your past. Love as if today were your last. Better times have slipped away. I'm lost beneath the waves. Nothing left to save. Savage crime. It was not yet her time. For whom the tower feels one final morning chime. For the survivor.
him down. Beat him up. Send him to his grave.
Clear, broken through.